Blog Talk Radio.
Now, what do you think of the draft? I think America wants new leadership.
New leadership? What kind of leadership do you suggest?
I suggest a wizard.
A what?
A wizard, like Merlin, who could kill his enemies by wishing them dead. That's the way we'd like to beat communism now, by wishing it dead. The manufacturer wants more war orders and lower taxes. Labor wants more consumer products in a 30-hour week. The college boy wants a stronger army and a deferment for himself. The businessman wants a bigger Air Force and a new Cadillac. The housewife wants security and an electric dishwasher. Everybody wants a strong America, and we all want the same man to pay for it. George. Let George do it.
Ah, I disagree with you. I don't want to let George do it.
You must be the exception.
No, I'm George.
Well, that's a hot one.
Everyone wants George to do it.
Except George.
Okay, class, we want to talk about what we learned during the lockdown. The first question is, what did we learn during the quarantine, kids? Susie.
That government overreach is real.
What about you, Johnny? We went from home of the brave to home of the government slave. And you, Michael?
We need to refresh the tree of liberty.
What about you, Diane?
So many sheep are willing to give up their rights because of a little fear.
Very good, class.
Hello to all you filth bags and something duckers that are looking for employment. We are hiring 87,000 new IRS agents. Are you able to knock on doors and demand to see people's tax returns? We need people who are willing to handle firearms. You need to be the government's new army. Your job will consist of number not grades of people who work as waitresses and did not report all their cash tips. Or maybe they had a yard sale and did not report income. You might need to shoot someone dead who is refusing to cooperate. Or you may have to deal with some childrens. That party's for me. You might need to enforce your will on people by any means necessary to force those 99% dolts and nincompoops to give over all their property to the 1%. If they say they voted for Trump, you kick them in the kumquats. Look, almost 75 million Americans voted for Trump. Another 12 million voted for other candidates. There is another 40 million that voted for Brandon and said something mean about him on Spybook. We need to teach those political enemies that we mean business as we turn America into a third world hellhole for all. If you vote Democrat, we will be coming for you eventually, but for now we are starting our training and first order of work with bringing those right and center wing extremists to those FEMA camps that do not exist. So who wants to work for the IRS? Just go to their website and then we will put you in basic training. Once you prove to us you can handle a firearm and threaten Trump supporters hardcore enough, we will place you on those mean streets and help us confiscate property on all those fuss budgets that did not complete a perfect error-free annual taxation form. Good luck to all you applicants. And good luck all you dolts and something luckers who will let us get away with it.
Sometimes as a Christian, it can be really hard to continue to find joy in our daily disciplines, even in biblical word Bible study. Honestly, we know we're supposed to find joy in it and get growth. That's why I named my new show Dynamic Word Bible Studies, because studying the word shouldn't leave you unchanged. It should provide dynamic growth through your life and the power of God encountered every day. I'm really excited to start this on Wednesdays from 9 to 10:30 right here on Freedomizer Radio. We're going to start out with the book of Romans, one of the most important books to my early Christian walk. So whether you've been a Christian for a long time or you're just learning about Scripture, this is going to be a great place to learn what it was that Paul was trying to tell the Church of Romans and the things that are important to us still today. Again, join me every Wednesday from 9 to 10:30 right here on Freedomizer Radio for Dynamic Word Bible Studies.
Hello, Freedomizers. I am Broccoli Man. When I am not fighting crime, I listen to the Proof Negative radio show.
I am the Wire Ritter. Not only do I forbid you to listen to Freedomizer Radio and the Proof Negative radio show, I am going to demand you wear a mask and get your naked body scan. We need to protect the one world government. You getting the real information hurts a crime syndicate. Do not listen to Proof Negative. You must now disrobe this instant so I can check your person for a constitution or cash money.
Anyway, listen to Proof Negative on Freedomizer Radio. Weeknights 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern. 6 to 9 p.m. Pacific Time. FreedomizerRadio.com.
Now, back to Proof Negative on Freedomizer Radio.
Welcome to the Proof Negative radio show, right here on FreedomizerRadio.com. Now sit back and enjoy the show.
Thank you. Okay, hello again, everyone. Welcome back to another great night here on Freedomizer Radio. Of course, I'm your host, Proof Negative, the big kahuna here on Freedomizer Radio. I want to thank everybody so much for finding us today. Today is Tuesday, and if you have anything you want to share today, the number here is 319-527-6208, and just press lucky number 1 on your phone, and we will make it a point to bring you into today's conversation. So lots of stuff to go over here. And one of the things I did want to get in here is that a few of the Democrats have decided that they wanted to debate after all. And it's not really working out for a few of them. I think that Herschel Walker has done okay. They accused him of bringing props, which is a paper and pen. They're desperate. Everybody brings paper and pen to debate so they can take notes. That's not exactly a secret or anything, but that's what they're going to tell you. Oh, there it is. Okay. Sorry, I was trying to download a clip, and I didn't see that I already had it. So I'm uploading some clips as we speak here, because if I'm going to be by myself here, we're going to be clip happy today. So let me just get this going here, and I can focus on talking to everybody. All right, so you have Herschel Walker, you have J.D. Vance in Ohio. I'm really hoping that Herschel Walker beats that Raphael Warnock. The one race that I wish I didn't care about is that Dr. Oz versus John Fetterwoman. I just can't believe there's people that are out there saying that they will vote for a guy who wants to openly promote communism. But you have a nation of Gen Z people who are really upset that Generation X and Generation Y are not voting for woke politics, that we don't want communism. We're not putting abortions and January 6th as the top two reasons for voting this time around. We really don't care about that stuff. We care about the economy. We care about food prices, gas prices, the availability of heating and cooling. They're talking about banning air conditioners and banning meat and make everyone eat the bugs and own the nothing. And the Generation Z people are like, well, I already don't own anything. I don't have a car. I don't have a house. I don't care if you have one or not, because I don't have one. So why should you have one, even though you've been paying on it for 20 years? I don't have one, so nobody should have a house. That's their way of thinking. And as Generation Z becomes of age, they're going to be happy to pay rent or live under their parents for the rest of their lives. That's their motive. So if they're not paying rent and they don't have to go anywhere and they're not working, then why stress over that when you can just get everybody to live like you? And that's the way we're going now, because it's all about being woke. and we're at a point in life where the coroner of George Floyd said that George Floyd died of a fentanyl overdose. And Kanye West says it in an interview, and George Floyd's parents hear it, and now they want to sue Kanye West for many hundreds of millions of dollars because they said that what he said about George Floyd dying of a fentanyl overdose, which the coroner has said, that is offensive and created trauma. And I just can't believe they're putting out there that Kanye West hates black people, Herschel Walker hates black people, Burgess Owens hates black people, because they're running for office and they're not Democrats, so therefore it doesn't matter if they're some of the darkest skinned people out there. The fact is that liberals will call them part of a Klan. Somehow these people think that the Klan has a diversity program, and they are very angry about that. You would think that if the Klan had a diversity program that they would be happy about it, but no. And I'm not a Klan's person, but just because you don't side with communism and you don't want drag queen story time, that's what they'll tell you that you are. That's my, on my cartoons that you might see, that's where liberal person comes from. That's just arguments that I've heard from people. But this election, if John Fetterwoman and Katie Hobbs and all these radicals win, then obviously we're done. And I'm not even a Republican like that. All I know is at the end of the day, I'm not a communist. I am what Tulsi Gabbard supports, which is leaving the party of elites, which is the Democrat Party right now, and just getting back to common sense, because it's not common sense to have more oil reserves on our nation underground when we could be the richest country in the world, but we refuse to now promote American oil, we refuse to produce it, and we have to send Pedo Joe over to Saudi Arabia to get on his hands and knees to beg for oil. And they're laughing at him like, dude, you have more oil under your nation than we have under our nation. Why are you begging us? You can make your own. And he's like, I'll pay you extra. Yeah, of course they're going to mock him. And now they're talking about lifting all the sanctions against communist Venezuela. And we'll pay extra for oil to be shipped here. It's just crazy. And all these peaceniks from the 1960s who protested the Vietnam War, those are the same people now that are telling us it's a great idea to get into a nuclear war with Russia and China. So we drop nuclear bombs on them. They drop some on our country. And you have Sean Penn going out there on the Smell-O-Vision. You have Neil deGrasse Tyson going on another show. And they're openly promoting how nuclear war would be great for the world. Nuclear war isn't as bad as it used to be. I don't know who said that. I don't know who made up that fake news, but that is some fact-checking that needs to be done. But, of course, a Democrat said it, so therefore it's gospel. But I'm on the side of no war. I'm on the side of exactly zero nuclear bombs being dropped on anyone. So because I say that, I've been told I support Putin. I want to lick Putin's boots. I'm a butt kisser of Russia and China. All at the end of the day, I say is I choose to live, and I'm not willing to die because our Congress and our president got so infatuated with fighting Russia at all costs and refusing to sit down for a peace deal. I'm sorry, they're not even trying. And I would understand if they were talking and just came to an impasse, but there's no talking. Nobody's bringing up the idea of having a couple seats at a table and discussing how to fix this. Zelensky has in his, he has actually made it law that they are not allowed to negotiate peace. The only thing they're allowed to negotiate is how much money the United States gives them and when they can bomb Russia. They're not allowed to surrender. It's against their charter. And I wish I could say otherwise or say it's a joke, but it's not. But that's their cash cow, is just let the United States keep funneling money. Let the U.S. taxpayer keep giving Zelensky some billions of dollars, and who knows what it goes to. There's no checks and balances. So I want to play this Russell Brand clip here from today about the Nord Stream pipeline. And, I guess I'll let him tell you here. I'm going to go ahead and play it.
Who blew up the Nord Stream 2 pipeline? Was it America? Was it Russia? Sweden have done an investigation, but it's too top secret for us ever to know about it. Luckily, the mainstream media can be relied upon to tell us the absolute truth in an unbiased way. Hello there, you 6 million awakening wonders. Thanks for joining me on this voyage towards truth and freedom. Make sure you turn on the notification bell and subscribe right now in case the algorithm turns against us. Remember, we stream every day, unless someone breaks this stream, on Rumble at these times, 1 hour with experts and opinions and content that wouldn't be allowed on any other platform. Not because it's mad conspiratorial claptrap, although sometimes we go quite close to the edge, but because it's very difficult to express the truth in mainstream media these days. People are trying to curate, control content by saying things of misinformation and disinformation when they simply challenge established narratives. Much like today's story. Let's have a deeper look at what's happening with the Nord Stream 2 pipeline and Sweden's investigation that was so secret they can't even tell us about it. Oh, we'd love to tell you about it. It's too secret. This Volvo is made so safe you can't even get in it. Right, let's see what's going on with this bloody pipeline. This is from FAIR, who are a media watchdog who look at the way that information is conveyed so that we can assess whether or not we're being given biased or honest information. The Nord Stream explosions triggered a lopsided whodunit in US media, with commentators almost universally fingering Russia as the culprit, despite the lack of a plausible motive. Russia get blamed for bloody everything these days, eh? They're collaborating with Trump, they're dabbling in elections. Official US opposition to the pipeline has been well established over the years, giving Washington ample motive to destroy the pipelines, but most newsrooms uniformly suppress this history and attack those who raised it. Okay, so we know that in the past, America have said that it's part of their long-term economic and geopolitical strategy to ensure that Europe gets its energy needs met through North America. If this was a murder mystery, you'd have to get M. Night Shyamalan, whatever he's called, involved to make it a bit more mysterious, because at the moment, it's really obvious. It'll be like at the beginning of Usual Suspects, Kevin Spacey going, look, I'm Kaiser Soze, do what I fucking tell you, I'm putting this limp on.
Tonight, European leaders are accusing Russia of sabotaging two underwater gas pipelines in the Baltic Sea. Authorities are investigating the leaks in the Nord Stream 1 and 2 pipelines, a vital source of natural gas for Europe.
Wouldn't you like the news just to say, look, it's a bit weird, like, if it ain't America, this is what the news should look like. For ages, we've been saying stuff like it would be to our advantage if those pipelines were exploded. But in some weird, almost unbelievable coincidence, Russia have done it for reasons that are not clear.
For the latest on the war in Ukraine and more apparent sabotage from Russia on the critical Nord Stream pipeline.
The U.S. calling this a deliberate act of sabotage while NATO threatens to retaliate.
Russia have done this on purpose to themselves, making a gaseous fried egg-like bubbly explosion on the surface of the Baltic Sea for no real reason, and it is super convenient for us. I like them sunny side up.
Our next guest wrote the book on Putin's playbook and says all signs point to Russia.
Any guest that says, I think America might have done it, won't be allowed on the show.
Quite a statement as well.
So there's no balance. There's no transparency. There's no honesty. There's no willingness to examine both sides of any argument. I think that the culture war is exacerbated by the lack of willingness for people from different cultural positions to have discussions, let alone with something complex like a war. After the explosions, much of the press dutifully parroted the Western official line. The Washington Post quickly produced an account. European leaders blame Russian sabotage after Nord Stream explosions, citing nothing but EU officials who claimed that while they had no evidence of Russian involvement, only Russia had the motivation, the submersible equipment and the capability. Who around here has submersible equipment? I don't know. Does that mean sort of submarines? Pretty much sort of every developed military nation? Yeah, but who would mostly do it? It's the Russians, isn't it? Much of the media cast their suspicion towards Russia, including Bloomberg, Vox, Associated Press, and much of cable news. With few exceptions, speculation on US involvement has seemingly been deemed an intellectual no-fly zone. Why would you not at least cover the possibility that seems most likely? I suppose these stories in the end become an opportunity to witness in real time the way that media and state imperatives co-align and operate together. You're simply not allowed to countenance the possibility of complexity. The idea that only Russia had the means and motivation is clearly false on both counts. Washington has made it clear for years it doesn't want the pipeline and has taken active measures to stop it coming online. As for the means, it's painfully absurd to suggest the US doesn't have the capability to lay explosives in 200 feet of water. You get Joe Biden on the news saying that if you don't do exactly as we say, there's going to be a nuclear war. Then they're saying they can't blow up something just because it's in a fish tank. Any serious coverage of the Nord Stream attack should acknowledge that opposition to the pipeline has been the centerpiece of the US grand strategy in Europe. They've never liked that pipeline. They've never liked it. At least they'd be going, we're glad that fucking pipeline's blown up. That's the minimum. Oh my God, that pipeline, that's fantastic. Oh, I'm devastated for it. Let's get a new pipeline in there as quickly as possible. That's one of my most favorite pipelines. I mean, I thought I liked Nord Stream Pipeline 1, but 2 was so much better. Oh God. The long-term goal has been to keep Russia isolated and disjointed from Europe and to keep the countries of Europe tied to US markets. Ever since German and Russian energy companies signed a deal to begin development on Nord Stream 2, the entire machinery of Washington has been working overtime to scuttle it. We've got to scuttle this. We've got to scuttle it. What was that noise? Oh, wow, by coincidence, it's just blown up. Well, guess we don't need to scuttle it no more. A 2019 Pentagon-funded study from the RAND Corporation on how best to exploit Russia's economic, political, and military vulnerabilities and anxieties. Bit of all this is their anxieties as well. Why don't we just tell them they're not good enough, that their mom never loved them, and that the reason their dad left was their fault?
Oh, this is very good. Very good.
Included a recommendation to reduce Russian natural gas exports and hinder pipeline expansion. That means you can literally point to a report from the RAND Corporation going, well, what about this bit here where it says hinder pipeline expansion? Oh, no, no, we were, like, that was just, that's a poem. That's a poem that I wrote there. Oh, the pipeline is a metaphor for... The study noted that a first step would involve stopping Nord Stream 2. That's their first step. That's their prize. Well, first and foremost in our study of how to exploit military vulnerabilities and anxieties is stop gas and hinder pipeline expansions. And point one, Nord Stream 2. Look, how do you explain this? As I say, this is a poem, this is abstract, all these things are metaphors, but Putin, oh, that guy, this is right out of his playbook, you know, the way that he blows up his own pipelines and sabotages his own economic interests. Crazy! You know, Putin. That natural gas from the United States and Australia could provide a substitute. So they had a motive, and they've sort of admitted they were going to do it, and have got a study that they paid for that says that it's their number one priority. Let's look at the rest of this like it's a sort of court case. but we're trying to work out, was it Russia or was it the United States? We should just base it on evidence. And FAIR, they're like an organisation that are about media bias. You can't trust the mainstream media. You know that already. That's why you're watching us, even in spite of my obvious flaws and fallibilities. I think what you trust is I'm trying my best and I care about you, human to human. In spite of the fact that I'll obviously make mistakes along the way, I'm not going to deliberately lie to you because of my own economic interest, because I've always hated that pipeline. Imagine if you found out I'd blown out that pipeline. I'm like, fucking hell, that guy, he took us on a journey. But I haven't done it, because I actually don't have the submersive. I haven't got a submarine at the back. We're at full pace just trying to deliver this video. This is the best we can do. The RAND study also prophetically recommended providing more US military equipment and advice to Ukraine. Advice. Do you know what you should do? Have a war with Russia. And also, let's fuck up that pipeline. What did you say about pipeline? Nothing. And the pipeline? I don't think anybody said pipeline. In order to lead Russia to increase its direct involvement in the conflict and the price it pays for it. Even though it acknowledged that Russia might respond by mounting a new offensive and seizing more Ukrainian territory. In a way, it was an extraordinarily prophetic document, that RAND study. It's like telling you, they're going to blow up that pipeline, we're going to arm Ukraine, that's going to lead to military action. So if concurrent with that, you can see that there were events in 2014, NATO impingement, like, whatever this is, and obviously I don't feel qualified to start attributing blame in a global conflict, who the hell is qualified to do that? But it's pretty clear that it's not just, oh, we're all like minding our own business, just trying to live life to the full and everything, like in a vitamins advert. And then Russia, for no reason, just started bombing Ukraine and then blew up their own pipeline. They're absolutely crackers. Remember, this study has probably come from a bunch of lunatics with no influence in government. Oh, the Pentagon. That was studied by the Pentagon. Yeah, but the Pentagon, they're not involved in military activity or funding foreign wars or the strategies around American foreign policy or a nexus for the relationships between military-industrial complex and the American military, are they? Oh, no, that is what they are. The Obama administration opposed the pipeline. As part of the major sanctions package against Russia in 2017, the Trump administration began sanctioning any company doing work on the pipeline. The move generated outrage in Germany, where many saw it as an attempt to meddle with European markets. In 2019, the US implemented more sanctions on the project. We're starting to build a case that's at least as strong as, oh, Putin, he's crackers him. He's sort of just slam his cock in a car door just to cause an argument. Fair enough, there are crazy people in the world, and I'm sure some of those crazy people rise to positions of power. But this is a pretty good, rational, logical, cohesive argument for the US sabotage that pipeline, isn't it? Not that I'm saying they did. Yeah, but then Joe Biden came in. That's a new broom. You see Joe Biden, he's a new broom. He's sweeping with vitality, whether he's sniffing someone on the head or bringing in a new foreign policy. Joe Biden won't let this crap carry on. Let's see what he did. When he came into office, Joe Biden made opposition to the pipeline one of his administration's top priorities. One, we're against that pipeline. And two, we'll say some stuff about cannabis and then not actually do it.
Come on, man.
Say some stuff about Saudi Arabia, not actually do it.
Good.
Say some stuff about Big Pharma, not actually do it.
Come on, man.
But let's bloody well make sure we do something about that pipeline. That pipeline's blown up. We didn't do it. During his confirmation hearings in 2021, Secretary of State Antony Blinken told Congress he was determined to do whatever I can to prevent Nord Stream 2 from being completed. Like, if someone had said that about, like, a wedding, and then you'd found, like, the bridegroom with his head stoved in with a candlestick, you'd go, what about Antony Blinken, who said he was determined to do whatever he can to prevent, like, you go, oh, well, I mean, God, you took that out of context. Well, here's the context, to prevent the Nord Stream 2 from being completed. Can we get some more context, less context? There has to be an amount of context that's going to hide the fact that we did this. Months later, the State Department reiterated that any entity involved in the Nord Stream 2 pipeline risks US sanctions and should immediately abandon work on the pipeline. As Russia was gathering troops at Ukraine's border at the beginning of the year, US administration officials issued threats against the pipeline's operation in the event of a Russian invasion. In January, under the Secretary of State, Victoria Nuland, one of the main players during the 2014 maiden coup in Ukraine, issued a stern warning against the pipeline. If Russia invades, one way or another, Nord Stream 2 will not move forward. How do you walk that back? Well, hey, That pipeline's actually been blown up. Do you know anything about this, Victoria? No. Well, what about when you said, if Russia invades one way or another, Nord Stream 2 will, period, two, period, not, period, move, period, forward, period.
That was a joke. I was saying that sarcastically. What you've not added there is inverted commas, an aubergine, a smiley face, and a monkey going like that. That's what I meant to say.
I really enjoy this guy's videos. He's brilliant, isn't he? But wouldn't you like even more of him? As you know, we are streaming every day on Rumble at these times. Now, if you are a fan of our podcast, Under the Skin, you've got to become a member of Stay Free AF. That is our community where you get even more fantastic content as a member. We're creating more free content than ever and better paid for content than you could ever imagine. We've already done interviews with Vandana Shiva, Wim Hof, Gabor Mate, Noam Chomsky. Coming up, we're going to be speaking to Donald, Bernie, Elon. I'll give you the surnames once we confirm the interviews. All of these interviews will be available on Stay Free AF, as well as my stand-up special that's going to drop in December, our community film, and opportunities to join me for live events regularly throughout the year. Stay free as fuck. There's a link below to join.
In sharp contrast to the US's antagonism, Russia has taken the opposite approach to the pipeline it spent billions of dollars to complete. As recently as 3 weeks ago, Putin expressed willingness to supply more gas if the EU would lift the sanctions against the newer pipeline. He said, if things are so bad, just go ahead and lift sanctions against Nord Stream 2 with its 55 billion cubic meters of gas per year. All they have to do is press the button and they will get it going. Diplomatic sources told The Cradle that Russia and Germany were in talks about both NS1 and NS2 on the day of the explosion. So, like, one argument is that Russia did it while they were economically dependent upon it, trying to protect it and guaranteeing its success. The other one is that America did it after decades of threats that they were going to do it. This is why people don't trust the mainstream media, because that isn't even being included in the conversation. That's insane to me that you wouldn't make that clear. All you can possibly argue at this point is, look, you lot, you don't know what you're talking about. If Russia were in charge of the world, your life would be so much worse and you'd all have to wear, like, grey boiler suits, although I'd just sew stuff on it, I'd been quite into it, and you wouldn't be happy. So at this point, the only argument you can make is, even though America is tyrannical and despotic and uses consumer capitalism to keep people spellbound in a state of continual hypnosis, appeased only by our ability to access screens and sugar, it's better than what you'd get under Russia and China. The one country, though, that does stick their oar in weird places like Southeast Asia, North Korea, all over the gaff, is the one that's been saying stuff like, we'll blow up that pipeline, just you try making a pipeline. Pipeline, I'll fucking give you pipeline. I'll show you pipeline, you motherfucker. I'll pipeline you till it hurts. Like, that's the one that we should be investigating, isn't it? The day after the attack, German government sources leaked to the German daily Der Spiegel that weeks earlier, the CIA warned Germany of a potential attack on the pipeline. However, sources told CNN that the warnings were vague, and it was not clear from the warnings who might be responsible for any attacks on the pipelines.
Hello, my name is Vladimir Russia. There's going to be some attacks all over those pipelines, buddy. I mean, comrade. So you Germans better get out of town. I mean, out of Brezhnev. Now, listen, it's a communism.
Sorry, this is a very vague and confusing threat.
Hang up, Joe. Hang up. What? Am I still on the phone?
A high-level source in German intelligence told The Cradle that they were furious because they were not in the loop. After the attack, Blinken called the bombing a tremendous opportunity to once and for all remove the dependence on Russian energy and said that this offers tremendous strategic opportunity for years to come. Bloody hell! On the other hand, Russia has already announced plans to begin repairing the pipeline. So, I mean, look, either Russia are so strategically engaged in this that it's like a total mindfuck beyond what I'm capable of handling, or America have simply made good on a series of threats, promises and long-term plans that have been published and promoted by them. Which is it? Ooh. The reality is that Russia has done its utmost to discourage NATO from further involvement in the war. A Russian attack on the pipeline would all but guarantee greater NATO involvement in Ukraine. Antagonizing Germany to teach the rest of Europe a lesson, yeah, that's their financial partner in this, which would only work if Russia was understood to be behind the sabotage, would be the opposite of Russia's interest. This argument amounts to little more than Putin is evil and hates Europe. And that is why, I suppose, they try to keep you in a saccharine, sentimental and mawkish state. Oh, poor Ukrainian people. Yeah, of course, poor Ukrainian people. Oh, Putin is evil. Yeah, maybe Putin is evil. But should we also look at this long litany of evidence that America have wanted to destroy that pipeline for a long time? Don't include that. That's disrespectful to the Ukrainians. And you're not acknowledging how evil Putin is. Now, look over there at how evil Putin is and how sad that war is while I just do something 200 foot under the sea that only Russia could do because they're the only ones with submarines and Navy SEALs. I mean, whatever their Navy SEALs are. And I'm going to be over here not doing anything under... Damn you, pipeline! Right. Now what the fuck's Putin been doing now? Ah, oh, your gun destroyed your own pipeline, you crazy son of a bitch! So there you have it. Who are you going to trust? The mainstream media, the American government, and the military-industrial complex, or your own lying eyes and ears? Let me know. If you enjoyed this video, have a look at either of these. Remember to sign up to my mailing list. I give you bulletins about what I'm up to on there in the case that this platform goes crazy. And please turn on the notification bell so the videos reach you, because in case someone sabotages the pipeline between us and you. You know what Putin's like? He's probably right now trying to tinker with the algorithm. Stay free.
All right, so on that note, I do want to segue over to this somehow. I was talking a little bit yesterday about that Daryl Brooks, the Waukesha killer, who is somehow defending himself in court. He's been thrown out of the courtroom a few times. He, in the courtroom, going up against the plaintiff, he says, "I don't know why you keep talking about Daryl Brooks. I don't know who Daryl Brooks is. I do not recognize the name. That is not my name." It's just weird. In the middle of the courtroom, he says, "Who is you?" I want to play this.
Okay. Thank you, sir. I don't have any other questions.
All right. Mr. Brooks, do you have any questions for this witness?
Yes, I do, and I object to being called that name for the record. Do you recall giving a statement to an officer, Probst? I don't know his name, but I'm talking to an officer. And you did talk to an officer that night? I talked to an officer on the phone. I did not talk to an officer that night. I mean, on the phone I did, but not in person. So it was a conversation on the non-emergency line. Would that be fair to say? It was on the non-emergency line. I actually confirmed it after I called to make sure I was on the non-emergency line. Do you recall the description that you gave at that time? I do. Well, my best of my knowledge was that you were either black, Latino, who's you? Or mixed. Who is you?
Well, you have to let him answer the question first before you interrupt him with another one. Go ahead with the description you provided that night.
I said that the individual is either black, mixed, or Latino. So it would be fair to say you didn't know at the time? I was giving a general description. So it would be fair to say that you weren't sure? I was positive it was you. Who is you? You. I'm looking at you. And how did you come to that conclusion, the you conclusion? I'm looking at you. How did you come to that conclusion? Did you? What conclusion? Can you restate the question? You're saying that you gave a description on the non-emergency phone line, correct? It was on a non-emergency line. So it would be fair to say at that time you had no name or knowledge of who the person was in your backyard. Would that be fair to say? I had no idea who you were. And so how can you say who? How can you say you then if you had no idea? I'm looking at you. You're the guy. And how did you come to that conclusion? I were standing in the same yard looking at each other. So Is it possible you saw something on the news?
No, I had no idea who you were.
Interesting. Do you recall giving a description of approximately 5 feet nine and 160 pounds?
Yeah, something like that.
Something like that, or would that be accurate?
I didn't have a tape measure out. It was just a guesstimate.
Would it be fair to say that, since you keep identifying me as you, would it be fair to say that I'm not 5'9 nor 160 pounds?
Do you have your shoes on or off right now?
Would it be fair to say that I'm not 5'9 and 160 pounds?
If you take your shoes off and step out of them, they could have a better
view. I'm not going to have them do that, but if you're able to answer the question, do you agree?
I'd have to be standing next to him. That's what I made my judgment from. We were about 2 feet from each other.
Does it look like I'm 5'9"?
I don't know. We were a lot closer.
Does it look like I'm 160 pounds?
Yes,
Browns.
Irrelevant as to his appearance today, just like his hair isn't in dreadlocks today.
Objection.
Question.
Grounds for the sustain.
Anyway, you some of this is just crazy when he says he doesn't recognize, and I tried to find the video real quick. I'm going to see if I can find it for tomorrow. But when dude says that he doesn't know who Daryl Brooks is, and he doesn't recognize anybody by that name, so please don't call him that. That's just hilarious. So, yeah, he somehow is able to be the attorney for himself. He's allowed to represent himself, which is truly embarrassing, but who knows? Maybe he'll win. But that is what is on the ballot right now for America. You have all these liberals that want what's called no cash bail, which is, if you commit a crime, you just get a ticket, and then if you go back to court, you go back to court. So if you commit, say, second-degree murder in Chicago, they'll take you down to the station. You'll get a summons to appear in court on, say, maybe March 14th, and hopefully you show up. And if you don't show up, then they just give you another ticket when they catch you and you don't go to jail for failure to appear in court. You just get another ticket. So you can kill people, you could rob people, you can steal cars. You're not going to jail. And the reason why is they say that too many black people are going to jail. And the last time I looked, when you go to jail for stealing a car, it's not because you're black or you're Chinese or you're from Honduras. It means that the physical you was caught stealing a car. So therefore, you, car thief, must go to jail. Doesn't mean that the state hates black people or hates whatever race that's stealing. It's that you committed a crime, so you do the time. And if you don't like to spend 5 years in prison, then don't do the crime. Because it's pretty clear in the United States, and I'm assuming this for all countries, but I could be wrong. But if you are committing second-degree murder or you're stealing a car, that you generally understand that no matter what country you're in, you get caught, you go to jail. That's not that hard to comprehend. Yeah, why doesn't Proof Negative steal cars? Because I, Proof Negative, don't want to spend time in jail. And I'm not a thief like that anyway, so what am I going to do with the car? Where am I going to go? Yeah, I don't plan to rob a bank. I'm pretty easy to find. I don't go anywhere. What are they going to do, knock on the door and then, what, give me a ticket? And then I show up to court on February 2nd and then they can decide whether or not I go to jail? But that's the no cash bail system that the Democrat Party loves. And to be honest, I don't understand the fixation of all this no cash bail stuff. Is it that people that are law-abiding citizens are not voting for Brandon, so they have to reach out and get people that are incarcerated so that the people that are released from prison 12 years early can come out and do more crimes if they vote Democrat? Is that what we're working on? And for those of you that know, I'm not a Republican like that. I just know that there are some strong Republicans. I'm not going to say the same for Democrats right now. There are some strong Republicans. There's a bunch of wimps and whiners. But at the end of the day, the average Republican is not voting for abortion after the baby is born. You're not finding many Republicans who want no cash bail and want completely open borders. There's not many Republicans that believe in the right to make all drugs legal in the state and have safe heroin shooting zones. There's no Republicans out there that want to make it legal for people to crap in the streets. And I know you can do that now in Seattle, Portland, and San Francisco, but I don't look at that as positive rights. Is there anybody listening to this show that is just thinking to themselves, man, I am so happy that when I'm walking in Seattle, if I'm downtown, I could just drop trowel right in the middle of the fisherman's market and just crap right there, right on the sidewalk and keep walking, and I won't get a ticket or nothing. I don't know any reasonable person that is sitting listening to this thinking, man, Proof has it all wrong. I can't wait to crap on the street in Seattle. Yeah, sorry. I'm just not into negative rights. I'm not going to vote yes on drag queen story times. There is someone that's running for office in Virginia. She wants to make it a jailable offense as we're releasing murderers, rapists, and other crimes that deserve decades in prison. Let's get rid of all them. And the new prisoners will be, if you misgender your kids. They want to arrest you if you have, it could be a toddler, it could be a literal baby that was born 2 weeks ago. If you say, this is my baby girl or baby boy, and that baby did not approve of that particular gender, you have misgendered that baby, and you go to jail, and CPS will take care of the kids from now on because you're an unfit parent. If your four-year-old says, I'm tired of being a boy, I want to be a girl, your job is not to just laugh it off and say, okay, honey, that will get you arrested. If a 2-, 3-, 4-year-old says, mommy, I want to be a girl, you are to schedule an appointment at the local hospital to make that happen. And if you're not doing that immediately, you are depriving that child and you will be subject to jail time, according to this Virginia hopeful lawmaker. But it's okay if you commit second-degree murder and have carjacked 12 people at gunpoint. That is not an arrestable offense, but calling your 6-month-old a girl when they did not specify that they're a girl, that is a jailable offense, according to this person. This is where liberalism is going. So for those of you who were Bill Clinton Democrats, hey, even if you were a Jimmy Carter Democrat, there wasn't many Walter Mondale Democrats out there in the 1980s. So if you were one of those Democrats, that party left you. It doesn't make me happy to say that, because I am not. If somebody's a classic throwback Democrat of 30, 40, 50, 60 years ago, at least those people will be able to have a conversation with you. They might not agree politically or economically, but at the end of the day, if you have certain thoughts and they have thoughts, you can reach a common ground on a few things and just agree to disagree on most other and just wish each other a good evening. That is, at the end of the day, what an old school classic Democrat would be. Now, you disagree with anything, you're canceled. They want you placed in a camp because you didn't agree with the liberal mantra 100%. It doesn't matter if you say that I agree with everything the Democrat Party says, but I think that 9/11 was much worse than January 6th. Oh, no. That is the same thing as F everything the Democrat Party has ever done, which them's fighting words. And you will be canceled. And for those people, just to be clear, as far as cancellation, it's one thing to just unfriend somebody on Spybook, or you don't follow their YouTube videos anymore. But it goes all out now where even if you're not religious, and I'm a very devout Christian, that even people who are not Christians know generally that there is a mark of the beast and you will not be allowed to buy and sell unless you have the mark and you do what the beast says. And a lot of you atheists out there are laughing, saying that really won't happen. But then you have PayPal that wants to fine people $2,500 for anything that, that PayPal calls misinformation. And then you have people like Kanye West, among others, that they get a letter in the mail stating that their bank account has been canceled, and they'll have a check mailed to them as soon as they figure out if there's any last-minute withdrawals or direct debits. Can you imagine? Because you decided to go to an anti-abortion rally, or you are caught voting for a Republican, the bank can just say, I don't want you as a customer, and within the next 7 to 10 business days, we'll cut you a check for all the money that's in your bank account. That's just amazing how that is totally 100% legal. Because I promise you that if liberals were being kicked off of their platforms and they were not allowed to have a bank account because they said something like there are 84,209 genders and counting, and the bank said, no, there's only two genders, you're canceled. If that bank did that, you would not believe the tongue lashing and the cancellation that that bank would have. But they can turn that around because they know that they have the political pressure. A Republican will almost never stand up for themselves. A Democrat don't care. And that's the good thing about Democrats, is that if they're told that 2 + 2 is goldfish, and you better share that out like your life depends on it, that 2 + 2 is goldfish, they are going to promote the crap out of that. And they are going to try their best to make millions of people worldwide believe that 2 + 2 is goldfish. They won't even question the fact that it's wrong. For example, we have 25% of Democrats now believe absolutely 100% that men can have babies now because Brandon legalized it. 25% of Democrats believe that. And if you say something like, I got slammed for an offensive comment on Spybook, when all I said was, can someone give me one example of a male actor, athlete, or male politician that has been pregnant and has actually had a baby? And not just a yes answer, but I want the name of a dude that got pregnant and actually missed some work time. So, yeah, there's no room for debate. Nobody has to tell me any dude that got pregnant. The fact is that they believe it, so therefore it's true. And if you say I can't find an athlete or an actor or a politician that got pregnant, then you are the the racist and genderist. Never mind that you can spend hours researching on the internets trying to find a dude that got pregnant. The fact is that you're questioning it. So because you question a liberal, then you're in trouble. But we only have 22 more days till this next election. And I am hopeful that enough people have decided that they don't want to go down the road of communism. I am sure that most people that vote Democrat don't want communism. Maybe they honestly don't know that these candidates are talking communism. They just know back in the good old days when Bill Clinton was president and they were making some money. They remember those days and they think that is what's coming back. You right now have a Congress run by Democrats. You have a Senate run by Democrats, and you have a Democrat president and vice president. And they're blaming Republicans for this economic failure. I don't know which Republicans are currently in office, and as I've stated many times, I'm not a Republican. I'm just a permanent free agent. I will tell you right now that I think Ron DeSantis is the best presidential candidate out there should he choose to want the job. That doesn't mean that I'm a Republican over anything else. If Liz Cheney, heaven forbid, became the president with Adam Kinzinger as the vice president, you won't see me voting Republican, and I damn sure am not going to vote for Brandon or Michael Robinson Obama, who I'm sure is a nice lady, or Governor Grusom, or insert Democrat here. I don't vote for people just because of the letter behind their name. And honestly, it's because most people, and I will side mainly with Democrats on this, is that people get used so much to that letter behind the last name that they become beholden to them, and you don't expect them to do anything for you. They don't have to. They already know they have your vote for the next 30 to 50 years. They don't have to do jack diddly squat for you, because you've already promised them their vote forever. So the more they count on your vote and know, regardless, you're going to vote for them, the less they do for you. And until people figure that out and stop voting for people just because of the letter behind their name, you're going to get what you get. I promise you that if the Democrat Party did not just fully expect that they're going to the polls with some unknown candidate getting 40 out of every 100 voters to vote for them, and they just have to worry about getting the 10%. If they had to struggle to get all that 50%, you better believe they would be doing anything and everything to secure that vote. They would be promising you more than what you could ever dream of. But because we are so lost and people look for the easy way out and just vote for the letter behind the name, and most notably a D, that they hide from debates. They don't have to do anything because you already said that you're going to vote for them. So why do they have to talk to you? Why do they have to do anything for you? They, like I said last week on a show, if Governor Grossom came out and said, I am going to personally knock on people's doors and kill half the population in California, Governor Grossom would still get 55% of the vote. Because he's a Democrat. You don't even know what his... You don't care what his policies are. You're saying, well, it beats mean tweets. Really? You can't fill your gas tank up with mean tweets. You're not paying for your food with nice tweets. Tweets don't matter in the grand scheme of things. But what helps the economy more? Mean tweets or $2 a gallon gas? Mean tweets or no nuclear war? Mean tweets or the price of ground beef less than $4 a pound? I don't know about you, but I can't fill my refrigerator up with tweets. My gas tank doesn't care how many tweets there are. And unfortunately, you have at least 40% of the population that believes that those mean tweets are hurting the economy more than shutting off American oil and charging everybody $5 to $7 a gallon gas and having the price of food be 17% more now than last year. Somehow people think those tweets are going to pay for it. All right, I have not taken a break yet. Let me go ahead and grab a timeout here. And I will come back, and I'll see what we can get into here. We have a bunch of stuff still to go over. If I'm here by myself, I got to at least take some ad breaks here. I'll be right back.
We talk a lot about the kingdom here, and we talk a lot about what most churches are afraid to talk about or don't even know to talk about, which is what the first century church was really doing. But just talking about it is not enough. We encourage everybody to join us in their local neighborhoods, in their local communities, to find out more about what they can do to seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Gather with others who are already starting this road or starting to turn around and do things differently. Join us on thelivingnetwork.org or at hisholychurch.org. Go to the network links or go to preparingyou.com. Join the network there. It's all the same. And we'll try to hook you up with people in your local area. They will not be perfect. They don't walk on water. They are not necessarily saints. But they are talking about seeking the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And join us on Facebook. Facebook.com, His Holy Church, all one word. Join us there. We'll give you updates so you can start doing some studying and thinking about these things and start looking into these things for yourselves. But it's just not enough to sit and listen or to talk about or to say. You must become a doer of the word.
Aye, aye, aye. chupacabra!
Are you tired of losing your herd of goats to the chupacabra? Are you worried about how you're going to eat because your goats were viciously ravaged? Call SNL Chupacabra Insurance today. SNL provides fast, speedy claims in the event of your goat farm being destroyed. Low rates, fast service, and professional attitude is what makes SNL your choice for Chupacabra Insurance. Call 855-CHUPA-NO today. 855-CHUPA-NO for a free rate quote. SNL Chupacabra Insurance, just in case the chupacabra comes.
Ay, 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 la chupacabra!
Hello, I'm Mike, my birthing partner, and I just got our new Weizenica Freedom microchips. These microchips are awesome. They help me keep the freedom I used to before I enrolled into Southern Hampshire Institute of Technology.
I am Jamar. I am friends with Mike and his birthing partner. We met at SHIT. I am a liberal media major. I also just got a Weizenica Freedom microchip. And since SHIT recently mandates everyone on campus get their Freedom microchip, I jumped on the Weizenica joint.
This Freedom chip grants me the freedom to go everywhere I was allowed to before COVID. Now this chip tells me when I am and am not allowed to go outside. It also tracks my boosters. If I'm not up to date on a chip, it tells me when I need to get it by.
This chip is sweet. Without this Freedom chip, no one is allowed on our campus. I scan my hand whenever I want to pay for something. It also calls for an ambulance when I get another heart attack from a booster, which is totally not a heart attack from getting a gene therapy.
These Freedom chips are free. You can go to any drugstore or China Mart. An employee would insert it in your wrist.
Remember, it is not the mark of the beast. You just need to let Weizenica track and trace your every move. You just need a Freedom chip to buy, sell, work, and live. When you get a microchip, look for the Weizenica Freedom microchips. They are sweet.
Stay. So let's talk about what's going on in America. Freedom is under attack in your state. Dictator Ron DeSantis incredibly lets you walk around without masks. That tyrant allows your kids to go to school during the pandemic, year two or four, or who the hell knows. I urge you living in Florida to join the fight. Or join us in California, where we'll take the money you earn and give it to people who don't work. Visit San Francisco, where you can walk through human feces. If you're lucky, you might step on a syringe. Check out Los Angeles, where gas is so expensive, your kids only need to skip a meal or two or ten to afford it. California, where freedom needs lockdowns for you, while I go to the places you can't afford. Don't let them take your freedom. Come to California, where we'll take it, along with your money.
Have you looked at the price of Bitcoin lately? Cryptocurrencies are the hottest financial investment right now. Well, what if you can get free Bitcoin fractions by having an app on your phone or PC? Introducing Lolli, a website that rewards you with free Bitcoin pieces with your online purchases. You purchase from one of thousands of companies like Chewy, Old Navy, Groupon, and others. You get a percent of your purchase back in Bitcoin. Use my link on freedomizerradio.live or find me on Facebook for your special link to get started. Lolli, earn free Bitcoin while you shop.
Okay, one more time. This is your foot. This is shoes. This is your foot in shoes.
I can't move.
Any questions?
Little help.
This public service announcement brought to you by Zero Shoes. Feel the freedom, feel the fun, feel the world in Zero Shoes.
Now, let's get back to the Proof Negative Show here on FreedomizerRadio.com.
everybody.
If you want to talk to us here, the number is 319-527-6208. Just press lucky number 1, and we'll bring you into the conversation. All right, so I'm going to get more into some clips here. And just a note, I was heavily rooting for the Cleveland Indians, now the Guardians, and they lost today. They got eliminated, so my baseball interest for the rest of the year, I don't give two you-know-whats about it. I just wanted to see my squad, who has not won a World Series since 1948. They've made a few World Series since. They've had a really successful 30 years or so, but they just have not translated that into an actual victory. But they've made it to 7 games a few times and was one game short of winning a World Series, but that doesn't count. So another, wait till next year. Oh, well. I'm just not a Yankee guy. And it's just sad to me that you have the Yankees, and then you have the team that everybody knows from 5 years ago that cheated, the Houston Astros. And they could not blame the players necessarily, because it wasn't the players that said, hey, let's go cheat. If they were told, hey, you wear this wire, or we're gonna have some outside personnel bang trash cans to tell you what the pitches are. It wasn't like the players came up with it themselves. If they did, and the manager didn't know about it, and there was cheating going on, then that's a different story. But if a coach told them, hey, you wear this wire, then the players are unfortunately off the hook. And there's a baseball union, so you would be going against that. And I'm not saying it's right or wrong to not blame the players, but that's what's decided. It's the manager and the coaching staff and the president of the team, the general manager, the owner. All those people get punished, but not the players. So even as a kid, I won't say I like sports. Everyone should know I've dabbled in the baseball collectibles market. I owned a card store at one point in my life. But what's funny is at the card store, I would have MTV on where they would play music videos. Or I would have the Food Network on. I unless the Indians were on. And I loosely follow the Jacksonville Jaguars, but I can't remember a time other than when the Jaguars were one game away from the Super Bowl like 5 years ago, that I sat and watched. I can't tell you if I've watched a football game since then. Yeah, I can't. I don't know if I did or not. That's how irrelevant sports are to me. And we went to, actually took my nephew to a Chili's because I wanted to try and watch an Indians game. And we got stuck watching the Seattle Mariners and Houston Astros game. And they said that when that game was over, then the network switches over to the other game. So, unfortunately, that Seattle and Houston game lasted 18 innings, which was basically two baseball games. And we didn't stay around for all that. By the time the Indians game was in like the seventh inning, it was the 16th inning or something like that for the Mariners, and I wasn't going to order another meal just to sit and watch a stupid baseball game, so I bounced, and I don't have a TV antenna, and we don't have cable at the house, so you're on your own as far as the smell-o-vision goes. So, yeah, I've always been one of those people, though, that can't watch a sporting event unless I'm actually interested in the teams. I might be able to watch some hockey. To me, in person, hockey is the most fun sport to see in person. And I will watch a Golden Knights game on rare occasions if it's on TV and we have cable, or it's something I could watch at home, or if we're at a bar and grill, because my wife and I don't drink, so we'd be going out for food, obviously. And if it's on, it's on, and I'll make a conscious effort to learn who the local Golden Knights players are, because it changes every offseason with free agency and new rookies and stuff like that. But am I a diehard? No, I have never been to a Golden Knights game. I definitely don't follow the Las Vegas Raiders. And it's been 2 years at least, but the Oakland A's are still discussing moving here because their lease ends in Oakland in 2024, and they are not renewing that lease. They've already made that discussion. The ballpark wants to basically implode. They're negotiating all kinds of new baseball stadium deals in a city that is decaying around them. Personally, if I'm a general manager of something and I want to either go to Oakland or go to Las Vegas, I don't know anybody that says, I want to party in Oakland. There's no state tax here, so more free agents would come here, which is kind of translating into something non-sports, kind of. But you have a football player, a wide receiver named Tyreek Hill. And he was given an option because the team was trading him. He could have gone to the New York Jets, or he could have gone to the Miami Dolphins. And the team was nice enough to ask him which of those two teams he would rather go to. And he said, well, I would rather play in New York because I like New York City, but it's going to cost me an extra $3 million a year in state tax to play in New York, or New Jersey in this case. Yes, the New York Jets and the New York Giants play in New Jersey. And Miami, Florida has no state tax. So he's earning an extra $3 million a year by not going to New York, and he said that. I just wish that more teams or more players would say, I don't want to play for the Los Angeles Fakers. I'll go play in Oklahoma City. I'll go play in Dallas or Orlando, because I need to make a grown-up decision, and I want to pay less in state tax. Yeah, what is there, 8 states that do not have state tax? Believe it or not, Washington State does not have state tax, but that is a very expensive state to live in, especially if you're in Seattle. But they do not have state tax. Florida, Texas, Nevada are the most prominent states that do not have state tax. So if the Oakland A's were to move here, they would get better free agents, because if you're going to pay player X, say, $20 million a year, you could pay someone $18.5 million a year in Nevada, and they would make more money because there's no state tax, whereas the other one, you're paying $2 million plus just in state tax for the right to play in that state. And just a weird thing about that is whoever goes to play in California, for that game paycheck, you have to pay the state tax of California, because that's part of your salary. Is if you make $20 million a year, as an example, and your game check is it's 1/17 of that. So you might pay $200,000 or $300,000 for the right to play that one football game in California that year. So the opposing players, I'm sure, not only is it more attractive to say, hey, I'm going to Vegas to play a football game, than it is to say, hey, I'm going to play in Oakland. But financially, you have the players not wanting to pay the state tax, and rightfully so, the owners don't want to pay the state tax. And the players don't have to pay that per week tax salary or whatever they call it. And every football player is going to be in the highest tax brackets. So I promise you there'd be players lining up to say, I want to play in Las Vegas. That's one of the things about being on the Oakland A's. Who really wants to go play in Oakland? The stadium's falling apart. There's no stadium deal. The city is hemorrhaging residents. The Oakland and San Francisco area is one of the fastest population losing cities in America. Why would you want to invest in that? And who's ever staying there, they don't care. And to be honest, the AAA baseball team for the Oakland A's is in Las Vegas, and they outdraw the Major League team. People are not going to see the Oakland A's, and nobody cares about them anymore. And the players don't care about being there. The fans don't want to go. Why are you going to invest in that? That's just dumb money. I thought I kept a video here. All right, I was going to play a video right now just to, let me see if I even have it. Because I'll upload it if I know where it is. Just give me a second here. Still looking. I didn't think I took that long with it, but All right, I must have... All right. Anyway, I'll go ahead and give up on that. That's fine. Just a quick word by John Fetterwoman here. So everybody likes to hear from John Fetterwoman.
My name is John Fetterwoman. And the Eagles are so much better than the Eagles. No, no.
Yeah, so I promise you if I came home and I told my wife that my name is now John Fetterwoman, she would help me pack my suitcase and get me out of here. I don't know any woman who would be so proud that their husband is going to change their last name from man to woman. That's not what people sign up for. And, of course, we know that the Eagles are so much better than the Eagles, as he said. So now any Pennsylvania team, I have to say, like the Phillies are so much better than the Phillies, or the Flyers are so much better than the Flyers. I have to say that now. That's kind of my thing. All right, let's see what other hijinks we want to get in here today. So here is something of note. So I don't know how many people know this. I said it once last week on the show, but Dr. Frati, again, just in October 2022, after saying that he did not fund any Wuhan labs and did not fund Peter Daszak, even though there's receipts all over the place and many Chinese doctors thanking Dr. Frati, that Dr. Frati, again, funded Peter Daszak just in October 2022. So there's another lab, and this time it's not just in Singapore, but there's also a lab in Boston. Boston University says they have invented a new strain of COVID. Now, they've actually sat there and made, in a lab, and they're announcing this, they made a strain of COVID that kills over 80% of the mice. This is the most lethal COVID that they've come up with so far. And they're proud of this, and they got funded to do this. And we're sitting here allowing this to happen. And we all know that this will just be put out to the public. They're not going to test this on humans. We're the test subjects. They think they could just put this COVID out there. And for all of you that got your gene therapies like Jamar, you don't stand a chance. And for everybody else, they're going to do more lockdowns. That's another thing. If you're voting a Democrat, they're already telling you that once we secure these elections again, we're doing climate lockdowns. They're telling you that, which is why they're not out there doing debates. Who wants to debate? We need to lock more people in their houses for a longer period of time. And we need people to get more COVIDs. And we need people to get gene therapies. And death is good. Having a nuclear war is great for the economy, and it's great for the environment. They're telling you this. I don't have to make this up. I'm not the Onion. I'm not the Babylon Bee. I'll grab clips tomorrow. I just didn't grab the clips, but I specifically watched Sean Penn and Neil deGrasse Tyson say on different shows yesterday that having a nuclear war would be great for the economy and great for the environment. I don't know what environment and what economy would be helped by this. I guess they think that if 12 million people are dead, then they can get 12 more million people just to take those jobs over. Like nobody's going to notice. That's why I can't ever be a liberal. I value human life. I don't look at people like numbers or people that don't agree with me 100%. It is not my enemy. We as a whole have forgotten to celebrate diversity. Instead, we're all putting each other in boxes and we're using cookie cutters on each other. So let me share here about this Boston University.
By the way, what could possibly go wrong with this story? Did you hear this one? Daily Mail? There's a Boston lab where scientists have created a new deadly COVID strain with an 80% kill rate. My gosh, what could possibly go wrong there? Now, apparently they combine these two viruses to create a super virus that kills 80% of mice. Now, again, I think it's fairly obvious, given the high potential that COVID was started by a lab leak in Wuhan, that this could be the single dumbest idea we've ever heard. But let me just explain to you that the obvious reason this is so dangerous, this kind of gain of function, which they're denying. The Boston lab saying, oh, it wasn't gain of function, right? There are two things about this virus you need to understand. You need to understand the R-naught, or how easily it spreads, and then the lethality. But the irony of viruses, if you ask virologists, I'm getting this from them. It's not my original idea. It's from them, the actual experts in this. They will tell you that. Those two things are usually inversely related. Highly infectious viruses aren't typically highly deadly, too. Ah, no, Dan, I saw that movie Outbreak with Dustin Hoffman. No, that's not how it works. Viruses that are highly contagious, that spread easily, the common cold, COVID-19, folks, if they were highly fatal as well, they would kill off all their hosts, and the virus has – the evolutionary mechanism of the virus just stops. Its ability to spread stops because it kills everyone off immediately. What you want with a virus – and it doesn't have a conscience, I get that. But what evolutionarily works better for a virus is a high R-naught, spreads easily, but doesn't kill, and doesn't kill right away. Because it gives the host the time to walk around kind of in a semi-sick state where they're not sure, spread it to thousands of other people. If they die right away, like you saw in Outbreak, they come into the hospital, oh my God, their eyeballs are bleeding. There's no host to spread it around. Okay, so what does that have to do with this story? That's why it makes this stuff so crazy. You're overriding evolution to create a virus now that's not only super infectious but super fatal too. That sounds to me like a bad idea, folks. I don't know. Call me crazy, but that sounds to me like a really stupid approach. Hey, Mom! The meatloaf! Right. What is she doing back there about the Boston lab?
What are they doing?
What are they doing back there? What are they doing back there? Folks, this is why they've got to shut down the parallel economy. They hate it when folks like me and other conservative people on the – such as me, Levin, and others as well, Tucker and the others out there, they hate it when we bring you the truth and say common sense things like evolution does that, right? Like evolution prevents a highly infectious virus from being highly fatal because it kills the host. So it's probably not a good idea to override evolution and create one that's both. They don't want to hear that because the left is – they're anti-communist. They know we're saying it. So So they have to discredit us. So whatever we say, they'll say the opposite. It will only be a matter of time before leftists come out and defend labs creating highly lethal, highly infectious viruses that could kill humankind because we feel like that's a bad idea. Folks, I'm not kidding. If you enjoyed this video, please subscribe to my Clips channel at rumble.com/BonginoClips. Sussman and his team, Michael Sussman, the Democrat lawyer, who Durham put out that legal filing again, about this week. We were talking about the Spygate case yesterday. Sussman's lawyers have responded, and folks, they're big mad. They have a serious case of the Satoruskis. They've got the sad. So just to be clear, Sussman's legal team, he's the DNC lawyer who was working for Hillary Clinton, right? And allegedly lied about it, told the FBI, no, I'm just here out of my goodwill. Sussman's legal team, it's kind of hilarious what happened. They went to Durham a while ago and were like, hey, man, you better show us your cards, you know, better see what you got here. So Durham did that, in fact, and showed him what he had in the legal filing we were talking about yesterday, where all that information about how they got the data from the DNS server, all that came out. And now they're upset. They're like, show us what you got. No, don't show us what you got. Hold on. Stop showing us what you have. Stop the showing. Stop this. We don't want any more showing. Show us what you got. But don't show us that. So hat tip, Margo Cleveland put this out on our social media feed. Sussman responded there, the DNC. Remember, Sussman is the DNC, was the lawyer working for Hillary Clinton, alleged to have lied to the FBI about that relationship there, okay? So they put out this thing yesterday. Here's their response. I'll read a portion of it, and I'll tell you what's really going on afterwards. They say, unfortunately, special counsel has done more than simply file a document identifying potential conflicts of interest. We addressed that yesterday. Rather, special counsel's made a filing in this case that unnecessarily includes prejudicial and false allegations. Ooh, that's a big charge. That are irrelevant to this motion and to the charge defense and are plainly intended to politicize this case, inflame media coverage, and taint the jury pool. Okay. Nice. Here's what's really going on here. So you got the lawyer, alleged to have lied to the FBI, brings fake information to the FBI about this Alpha Bank story, right? According to the allegations, doesn't tell them he's working for Hillary Clinton. We find out in the legal filing from this weekend that Hillary Clinton's team allegedly got the information from a tech executive who had a contract with the White House and then sent some of the information from the server on to Hillary Clinton, which, if true, is an enormous, enormous scandal, a tidal wave of scandal coming ashore. So here's what's really going on here. Sussman's team is now terrified because if you notice in the filing, he says, intended to politicize the case, inflame media coverage. What he's saying here, number one, they can no longer control the media narrative, folks. The Democrats have had a monopoly on media coverage of scandals like Watergate, Iran-Contra, anything that, you know, anything in a Republican administration, they can use to do damage, they would make a scandal for decades, years, a millennia, eons, right? Now that the biggest political scandal in American history is going to be an Obama administration scandal and a Hillary Clinton scandal, they're terrified they can't control the narrative. They want to keep this out of the media, this story, as long as possible. So they called John Durham's bluff. They said, show us what you got. Durham showed you what they had, talking about this diverting information from this this DNS server over to the Clinton campaign, which would be an enormously impactful conspiracy, right? Now, why do they want to control the narrative now that Durham has showed the cards, and why do they want to make sure it doesn't get out in the public? Very simple. I'll move on here. Hillary wants to run again. There's no question Hillary wants to run again. The media people out there understand Hillary Clinton wants to run again, and if they can't keep this information out of the public eye long enough and it starts to impact a potential presidential run, she may have to bail before she even starts. That's what, with every single thing the Democrats and their lawyers do, there's always a behind-the-scenes story. I'm glad to be out in front of it and here and tell you what really matters. Sussman's legal team is terrified because this stuff is really, really damaging. I sincerely doubt Durham would have put it in a legal filing if he didn't feel like he had this case down, locked up, Now, folks, this is not the end. This is just the beginning, the charges in the Durham case. I said to you yesterday, John Durham said that the Hillary Clinton campaign getting information from this DNS server at the White House and Trump Tower and the Trump residence, which is, again, it's such an enormous scandal, it's hard to believe I'm even saying this. It's not the end. The Durham filing is very specific that the DNS data, in other words, what Trump Tower, the Trump residence, and the Trump White House, the websites they were looking at, that's not it if you read the filing. Durham's filing clearly says that the DNS data is among the internet data exploited, among it. You think he wrote that by accident? There is clearly more going on here. Margo Cleveland has a spectacular write-up in The Federalist. I'd like you to read it. It's in my newsletter today. Please subscribe. It's free. Bongino.com/newsletter. She has this Federalist piece. Then The Federalist piece, she talks about 8 more intrigues inside John Durham's latest special counsel finding. I'm not going to go through all of them because some of them I addressed yesterday. But she says, beyond the blockbuster news from Friday's special counsel filing and the Spygate investigation, there were several interesting points of note. One of them is what I hammered on yesterday, and this is important. It's a huge takeaway. If you think this is the end, this isn't even the end of the beginning. It's the beginning of the beginning. The media people trying to run cover and the Democrats are assuming that Friday's filing, I think, that that's the worst it's going to get. He says among the internet data they spied on from the Trump White House and Trump Tower and exploited. Exploited is the word he used. Margo Cleveland says in this piece, quote, given Friday's revelation that Jaffe, that's the tech executive who's alleged to have given this information about DNS data to the Clinton campaign, given Friday's revelation that Jaffe was specifically targeting the executive office of the president during the Trump administration and mining internet traffic, Jaffe's supposed observation of an OIG's computer connecting to a foreign country's VPN suggests Jaffe, the surveillance operation extended beyond the executive office of the President of the United States. Folks, you picking up what I've been putting down for the last few days and Margo Cleveland's putting down right here? The media wants you to believe that the alleged spying by the Clinton campaign on the web and internet activity of the Trump residence in Central Park West, Trump Tower, and the Trump White House, they want you to believe that's the end. That's not the end. Just read the filing. And the fact that he writes in the filing, as Margo Cleveland correctly points out, that there's allegations they were spying on the Office of Inspector General, too. Why? We don't know yet. Is hugely damaging. What else were they looking at? Very simply stated, what other information, if this is true, was this tech executive by this contract with the government giving to the Clinton campaign? And by the way, the media, the American Pravda, they're doing their best job to cover up for the Democrats. I'm going to get into some of it in a second, showing you how panicked they are. Folks, don't buy any of it. There is no excuse for this. Even if the contract with the government to monitor the White House, the DNS data, and to transfer, to use have a DNS server was legal, which it appears to be. That's like suggesting you have a legal contract to, produce the Dan Bongino show, and I find out later that Gee is taking all my data and selling it to a competitor. Just because I had a legal contract with Gee to produce the show doesn't mean he could take the data and give it to the Clinton campaign.
Right.
Do you see how stupid the media thinks you are? Well, the contract to do the monitor the web data from the White House was a legal one. Yeah, no hit Sherlock with an S in front of it. We get that, you dopes. That's not the point. The point is that they exploit the contract to take the data to give it to the Clinton campaign. Do we need to do this what if the other side thing? Are you this dumb if you're a liberal? Can you imagine getting a government contract to assist the Biden White House in keeping track and keeping its White House data on its computer secure, and then taking the data and giving it to the Russians and going, no, Joe, no problem. No, Joe, Yeah. Stop the nonsense, buddy. You're getting out ahead of yourself.
Oh, man.
The contract was legal. The fact that we gave it to the Russians doesn't matter. We had a legal contract. You'd be like, what do you think, I'm a moron? This is what the left thinks you are. They think you're an idiot.
You just heard the Dan Bongino Show.
All right, I'm going to find something else to play here. So there's a couple of Tucker Carlson's that I still want to get out tonight. Let's get the, let it go.
Here. We're going to start the week by doing something we rarely do, which is bombarding you with political cliches. We usually leave that to MSNBC, but we're going to tell you what you already know, which is midterm elections are always and everywhere a referendum on the party in power. That's true. That's true this year, too. But this year, they are not just that. They're more than that. In just 22 days, Americans will have the chance to render judgment on the unprecedented moral atrocities our leadership class has committed over the past 2 years. The shameless lying, the arrogance, the stupidity, the total incompetence, the unfairness, the relentless and vicious racism toward the majority of the American population. All of which together amount to, yes, attacks on democracy itself. If you believed in democracy, you would not act like this. No one has ever run a developed country with this degree of recklessness. The question is anyone ever going to be punished for it? That's what's really on the ballot this November 8th. So for Republicans, the election should be easy. Not that you should ever for a second underestimate their ability to screw it up anyway. They may. But the template for success is right in front of them. Just run against Joe Biden. There may be people out there who feel sorry for Joe Biden, but there's absolutely nobody who thinks or can argue with a straight face that he's doing a good job, because he's not. So just say that. You're not the Biden candidate. Run on the economy. End crime. Homelessness, it's everywhere. Have you noticed? Fentanyl. And on what Joe Biden has done to our southern border. Stick to the obvious issues, and you're probably going to win. How could you not? Surveys show that voters care most about inflation, jobs, and immigration. As it turns out, those are exactly the issues, according to a recent Harvard-Harris poll, that voters also believe are the top priorities of the Republican Party. So this is a moment Republicans rarely see. It's a moment where there's total alignment between their priorities and the priorities of the electorate. Again, that doesn't happen very often. That same poll, if you dig a little deeper, shows that voters believe Democrats, by contrast, are fixated above all on January 6th. Oh yeah, January 6th, the QAnon insurrection. January 6th, where Nancy Pelosi's cops opened the doors and let protesters walk inside, all of whom are now nevertheless classified as dangerous felon revolutionaries, except for Ray Epps, who for some reason is still a good guy. Okay, Democrats, that's the story they're running on. Lots of luck. January 6th might make for a spicy CNN segment, but it is not a governing platform. Who's voting on that? Nobody. At least one candidate seems to understand that. It would be John Fetterman, actually. Fetterman may have brain damage, but he's one of the very few Democratic office seekers who has bothered to explain what he might actually do if he's elected. Here's John Fetterman at a recent event getting specific about his governing platform.
Send me to Washington, D.C. Take on to make sure I don't push back against work to work.
You hear that? If the voters of Pennsylvania send John Fetterman to Washington, Fetterman promises, quote, to push back against work to work. No more work to work. You can hear a man in the audience cheering as Fetterman says that. That man gets it. He knows how badly we need to fight the hidden epidemic of work to work. This work to work pipeline is literally killing people. And John Fetterman will put an end to it. No more work to work. So there's that, the anti-work-to-work platform, whatever that might be. The other thing that Democrats are running on, the thing they believe we need a lot more of, is, of course, abortion. And you can see why. As Yahoo News dutifully reported the other day, America is facing a diaper crisis, and the anti-abortion movement may not be helping. So really what you have here is a classic demand-side approach to the ongoing diaper and formula shortages. Just don't have kids, Dumbo, and then you won't need diapers. You also won't need a house, or a car, or a raise, or extra food, or money for college tuition. It's pretty simple.
When you get to this point, and this point is a place where the economy is so completely distorted that only Democratic donors can still afford to have normal families, when you get there, the solution's simple. Don't reproduce. Childlessness is the cure for the economy they created. And that's why abortion is so very important, especially now. We don't have enough diapers. How dare you? It's so important that Democrats say they want to eliminate the filibuster to bring back more abortion. Once again, here's John Fetterman.
My name is John Fetterwoman. You know what I would do if I was that 51st vote? First, rid of the filibuster. No. Right next, codify Roe. Abortion is the ballot now in November.
Yeah, now or in November or whatever the election is. Let's be completely honest. There's no chance that guy is going to win. And, of course, Pennsylvania is a purple state. And, of course, he's running against a guy who's been attacked a lot, Dr. Oz. Of course, he has the backing of every Democrat up and down the chain in Washington. But let's be real. That guy in the U.S. Senate refused to believe it.
All right, let me finish the other Tucker Carlson. We'll get into some Broccoli Man stuff momentarily.
So Gavin Newsom in California, and this is why this is a problem, because some of you may be saying, well, why do we care what Gavin Newsom in California is doing? I live in Florida. Because, folks, having lived in a blue state, Joe lives in one now in Maryland. What happens is when liberals think of something insane, like we're going to do this medical muzzle bill, which is what this segment on Tucker is about. I'm going to play it for you in a second. It's about muzzling scientists and doctors who dare to speak out about the science about COVID. Remember, you're only allowed to say great things about the vaccine and mask, even if the science says not great things. So what they figure now is if they can't stop you with the fact checkers who've totally failed, the fact checkers, people laugh at them now. They think they're idiots. Nobody pays attention to them, right? They figure if they can't stop the fact checkers from self-owning, and they can't stop people from actively talking about the real science behind COVID, they're just going to pass a law that'll rip people's medical licenses from them and destroy doctors and scientists' careers who dare to speak the truth about COVID. They are desperately trying to take the beach ball and put it underwater. It was Tucker's show on this last night about this medical muzzle bill out of California, probably the single greatest threat to science we've seen in the United States, and I promise you, California, Maryland, New York, Illinois, these are trial balloon states, test tube states that test these crazy things. And if this is allowed to pass in California, then there's only a matter of time before it spreads to your state. Check this out.
Politicians in California were just caught colluding with Twitter to censor political critics. But instead of stopping the illegal, unconstitutional, totally immoral censorship, Governor Gavin Newsom designed a bill that will punish doctors for the crime of disagreeing with Gavin Newsom. Right. Because remember, it's just between you and your doctor, but now Gavin Newsom, who's not a doctor, who's like a moron, is somehow telling your doctor what to think? Yeah. Under this new law, doctors can no longer spread, quote, false or misleading information regarding the nature and risks of the virus, that would be coronavirus, its prevention and treatment, and the development, safety, and effectiveness of COVID-19 vaccine. In other words, you're not allowed to criticize Pfizer. It's now a crime in California. Ooh. Shareholders of Pfizer, anyone? Probably.
You see the power? Left calls it big pharma. Oh, they're right. You see the power they have? Now, why would the left, which over the years has used big pharma as a whipping boy, right? Big pharma driving up prices. And the irony is most of what they say about big pharma is false. Research and development costs a lot of money. So while the left says, well, this drug is ridiculously priced at $10,000 a month, what they don't tell you, the left, ever, is that the, you know, billions of dollars of R&D went into developing the drugs and the technology beforehand. It's like you spending your entire life, Joe, and your entire life saving, you know, millions of dollars on inventing a new battery for a motorcycle. It gets in a car, the battery is $5,000, and then the people complaining about the price who never invented the product themselves. That's the irony of the left's approach to big pharma. But when big pharma is actively involved in the production of a vaccine that may have issues. All of a sudden, because that vaccine fits into a big government mandate ideology, like, yes, if we can get them to take this vaccine and stick it in their bodies, we can get them to believe anything, that we're in charge of everything, including their bodies. All of a sudden, they're big pharma fans. It reminds me of that David Horowitz book, Unholy Alliance, how, again, the left are anti-communists. We're anti-communists. We hate collectivism and totalitarianism. That's us. They hate us. So they're the anti-communists. They need to get rid of us before they can implement their top-down authoritarian system. You understand that? So whatever we're for, body sovereignty, you shouldn't force me to take a vaccine I don't want to take. They're against it. Do you get that? Whether the vaccine works or not to them, or whether the vaccine could potentially kill you or lead to some heart inflammation or whatever, they don't care. They don't care at all, not even a little bit. Please understand that. You need to be swiped to the side. Swipe right. Get out. You are the anti-communist. They're the anti-communist. They will partner up with anybody. Islamo-fascist, big pharma, anyone, if they believe it'll help get rid of you. They don't care. If you enjoyed this video, please subscribe to my Clips channel at rumble.com/BonginoClips.
All right, and since we're in the third hour already, and we did not do any Broccoli Man today, I have a brand new one, actually, that I did today. So we have a second one for the week. So I thought of this. I woke up at like 3 in the morning. Is it not up yet? All right, hold on. Let me figure out why it's not here. So I haven't done anything with the millennials recently, including our friend Jamar. And I was under the impression that I uploaded it, but I guess not. All right, let me go upload it. Then it'll show me that it's on here twice. All right, just give me a second here. I was fairly confident that I uploaded it before the show, so we'll just wait a second here. I could have just played a commercial, I guess, but I didn't. All right, I'm positive I uploaded it. There we go. All right, so we're going to hear Jamar's 60th booster.
Hello again, Doctor. I'm here again for another booster. So the New Hampshire Institute of Technology said we have to get our next boosters or we cannot come back to class. I wish we did not have to keep getting these COVID gene therapies.
I'm so glad you have to get your next boosted. It is time for me to make more money.
This is booster number 60, player. Every time I get a gene therapy, I get a heart attack or I get COVIDs. I know it is not your fault. And it is not Lysnica's fault because they make the gene therapies. But I wish I did not get myocarditis and blood clots immediately after getting them.
Okay, Booster Boy. Time to roll up that sleeve. I don't mind if you get a heart attack. It means I make more money.
When is this going to stop? No one is getting COVID anymore, yet we have to get these boosters all the time. Then we get sick and go to the hospital. It is getting old,
We need you to get these gene therapies. We have found it is the best way to reduce population. Plus, as a doctor, I am not able to be sued for administering them to you. Without you getting these gene therapies, I would not have been able to pay back my student loans.
So with Donald Trump did not force us to get these gene therapies.
You do realize Brandon is the president now and not Trump. Correct.
True. But Trump is still Dell. Langs, we should get gene therapies.
Of course his son. He got over $1 million in donations for his presidential campaign to promote them. He's owned by Big Pharma to be their mRNA prostitute. He makes his fan stacks just like weak doctors do. Now, which arm do you want to use? We need to get you boosted up right now while the ambulance and EMT workers are waiting for you to have another heart attack. Which is a pure coincidence after getting a gene therapy.
SHIT is still requiring us to wear scams even after getting 60 boosters. They said if you are missing one booster, you have to wear 3 scams instead of just one if your gene therapies are up to date.
I am so glad that Lysnica rushes these gene therapies out. We have to move at the speed of science. If we had to have these mRNA juices tested, they would never pass for human consumption.
I understand, doctor. But how do we know if the gene therapies are working? I have a bunch of friends who died right after getting these mRNAs. I know it was just a coincidence, but it is a lot of my friends, B. And the only people that are getting COVIDs are the ones that keep up to date with boosters. I have had COVID like 50 times already, player.
And just imagine how much worse it would be if you did not get your gene therapies.
I sure hope Michael Robinson Obama becomes president in 2024. She is such a nice lady. She would be doing a much better job than Brandon.
I agree, son. Big Mike would get more people to take these gene therapies. People are seeing through these failed gene therapies and are not taking them anymore. The only people taking these gene therapies are hardcore communist Democrats and people your age who are complying with college demands. That is why I donate some of my record profits to SHIT.
I also have to get my next booster for moneypox. And I need a flu shot, a shingles shot, and a pneumonia shot while I'm here.
That sounds like a great decision, son. I can get you the COVID booster right now, and while you are having a heart attack after you take this, which is a pure coincidence, we can give you the other boosters when you are in the ambulance.
How sure are you I will not have a heart attack again today, B?
Oh, we fully expect you to have another blood clot right away. The ambulance driver is already sitting in the ambulance with the engine running. There are 4 EMTs waiting outside the room for you to have a heart attack. But this booster is completely 100% safe. I will be much better off getting it than if you went without. Everyone getting ready to help you with your myocarditis is completely just a coincidence. Now please roll up that sleeve.
I do not want to drop out of college, but I am really tired of accidentally getting heart attacks, blood clots, and COVID after every single gene therapy, B.
Son, even if you drop out, your life expectancy is completely down. We can tell because we implanted your microchip a while back too. Lysnica and unhooked you up, big boy.
I am just wondering how every single time it is a coincidence that I get a heart attack right after a booster and go to the hospital every single time. Yet all the staff is just ready for me to have heart problems right now. I feel like Charlie Brown and you are Lucy trying to get me to kick a football.
That is a great story, son. Now I need my money. You need a booster. Roll up that sleeve so we can get you to the hospital and I can get the next student in here to get their gene therapies and we can get their ambulance ready. We already reserved you a bed at the hospital. Which is just a pure coincidence. I love giving gene therapies.
Alright, so if you were wondering whatever became of Jamar and his 60th booster, that you no longer have to worry. So I'm sure he's at the hospital right now. All right, so let's get the other one from the week here. So we have Broccoli Man debating G-Globalist and the wiretap. Let's see here if I can There we go. Okay. All right, so I guess I don't have to count it down. It's just me here. All right, let me play it.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another debate. We are joined today by one of the biggest extremists of all time. He is a stupid cisgender male that is not smart enough to understand that men can get pregnant and that having peace on Earth and not having a nuclear war is somehow better for the environment. He is also against drag queen story time and unfairly arrests minor attracted persons. He also...
Hey, can we move on already instead of you trying to prove you are better than me?
You look here a little busy. You are going to zip it? Zip it good. You are going to let your host Martha say everything bad you ever done in your life. The public needs to know you bees is a domestic terrorist threat.
Thank you, Wiretap. Anyway, this total imbecile refuses to buy GMO food like the rest of us 99%, and he also voted for Trump like a total fool, and he refuses to wear scams or get any gene therapies. Please, let's all shun together Broccoli Man. I said do not abad him. You should only be that fool. He needs to be shamed.
Thank you, audience.
You best close that front door or we will have the local police shoot you dead. Anyway, we have the sponsor of our debate, the head of Lysenike Pharmacia Dickles. He is the person responsible for everyone getting all their gene therapies. We have Gilad Bullist and one of the greatest superheroes of all time, the Wiretap.
All of you who are booing, we will be stripping you of your dungarees in just a moment. You all will be taken to a FEMA camp that does not exist.
Thank you for having us, Martha. I just hope you can keep that yacht silenced during this debate. We do not need him educating the public or hurting our crime syndicate.
If that is the case, then why is it Lysenike did zero testing on the COVID gene therapies? These gene therapies killed millions of people and you don't even care.
Hey something ducker, for real. You need to shut that soup hole right this instant. How about you show us those kumquats right this instant, right here, right now, green dude?
Everyone that has gotten the juice is getting blood clots, myocarditis, and death. Plus they are getting COVIDs now all the time.
Hey Biznich. You need to stop showing the world you are a racist dolt and get your gene therapies. It is perfectly normal for everyone to have blood clots, death, and a heart attack, tack, 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 dog.
Of course, we did not want to test the COVID gene therapies before giving them to the public. If we did, they would not have been approved. If they did not get approved, then we would not have made record profits. Also, we need to exterminate as much of you 99% fast but gift and useless eaters so we can control the Earth without you eating our food and using our resources.
Broccoli Man, why are you so insistent on fighting for the 99%? The 1% do not care about them. They do not care about you. The 99% are just fools who are trained seals to do what the 1% says.
Correct, Martha. That is why we can get them to vote Democrat. Even if Governor Shehadzak says if you vote for him he will kill you, they will still vote for Shehadzak because he is a Democrat. All you should care about is which former president sends me tweets.
That green dude is also against me diddling children and doing drag queen story times. He will not even go on a date with me. I even offered to drive him in my 1993 Geo Metro.
You are creepy AF and all I want to do is arrest you. Child traffickers and people that go to Epstein's Island will have spending eternity with Satan. I will always stand up for our kids.
Now Broccoli Man, you are being way too extreme. People who are minor attracted persons are great people who influence our society. No one cares if they like to spend time with our youth. People like that coach from Penn State have been unfairly targeted. Great anti-American patriots like John Fetterman are helping us stand up against America.
You mean the guy that thinks the Eagles are better than the Eagles?
And the Eagles are so much better than the Eagles! No, no.
Why are you still cisgender broccoli man? Even Madonna says they are gay now. You need to get with the trends. You also need some pronouns. What are your pronouns?
My pronouns are bleep/you.
Not funny, green dude. Not even a little bit. Just for that poor choice of words says, you must remove said dungarees right away so we can get in all swabbed up in the cavity. We need to make sure you're not hiding any R15s, any meat cleavers, or any gas-powered automobiles inside your junk.
How would anyone be able to hide a car inside their junk?
Don't you back us, me Republican. We know you Republicans like to do things to prove you are a domestic terrorist.
Martha, do you have a taser? We need to shut that green yutz up. If anyone hears this, they might believe him. We need to spread our agenda and fake news so we do not get arrested.
Broccoli man, why is it you are against Brandon's great economy? Every Democrat in charge says this economy is the best it has been in almost 100 years.
Are you serious? The price of gas has tripled. The inflation rate is worse than in the 1970s. We are wasting billions every single week going to the Ukraine. The government is having runaway spending. Plus all of you are begging for a nuclear war.
Of course we need a war, green dude. We need to remove all of your 99% fools from this earth.
Mr. Broccoli, we would appreciate it so much if you would just go to that FEMA camp. That does not exist. We need to get everyone a microchip so we can make sure Earth's population never goes above 500 million for any reason. We can detonate anyone's chip that we like so we can never lose control or power over whomever is left. Your death would be the greatest thing to this earth.
I agree. Why does Broccoli Man want to live in the past and not let G-Lobos run the earth?
Because I believe in freedom and I am not a child diddling thug like you all.
Green dude, that outburst was uncalled for. Now you are definitely going to that FEMA camp right after this show. Even though they do not exist. Now you need to be strip searched right this instant so I can get a look-see at said junk.
Okay, that is all the time we have tonight. Thank you everyone for coming. Please support Isonica Pharmacia Dickles and get the latest gene therapies. And if you get myocarditis or a blood clot, just remember it is still much better than if you did not get your gene therapy. Tell your extremist friends it is no big deal if you die after getting your gene therapy and it is just a coincidence.
Why are we not asking about how many heart attacks G-Lobalist had or how many times he got COVIDs?
Look ye ups, I received all 59 boosters. I had only 23 heart attacks and got COVIDs only 49 times. It would have been much worse if I did not get this juice.
I think that is hashtag fake news. I never got any juice and have never ever had COVIDs or myocarditis.
What do you want, sir? A cookie? A parade in your honor? A kiss on the lips, green dude?
No. I just want all of you arrested for crimes against humanity. And for everyone else to listen to Proof Negative on FreedomizerRadio.com weeknight.
You buy a snitch a buzzkill, and a something lucker for real. We are not going to tell people about FreedomizerRadio.com or the Proof Negative radio show. We need to establish a one world government without you waking up the sleeping trained seals. Now if we can end this debate, I have a pizza napkin in the wall and a hot dog to attend to at that pizza place.
All right. right, so we'll listen to a few more clips that I wanted to play today. We're going to start with Biden blaming somebody new here for gas prices.
In focus now, Senator Tom Cotton, Republican, member of Senate Judiciary and Armed Services Committees, is here with me down the stretch. So first of all, what do you make of these latest power rankings shifting over to the GOP? Just slightly, but it's happening. Doesn't count Democrats out completely, but what's going on in your estimation?
Well, Harris, it's not surprising that more Americans are repudiating Joe Biden and the Washington Democrats' agenda. You just look at the headlines. Inflation continues to run very high. The stock market has fallen precipitously over the last year and a half. More crime on the streets across America. We have a drug epidemic unlike anything this country has ever seen. I was on the campaign trail yesterday in Pennsylvania with Dr. Oz. We visited a natural gas pad in western Pennsylvania. That natural gas provides thousands of good, high-paying jobs to hardworking Pennsylvanians and Ohioans. It also provides low-cost energy to America. It helps America support our allies around the world who'd rather get American gas rather than Russian gas. And it's good for our environment because it's so clean burning as opposed to, say, foreign coal. Yet John Fetterman and Joe Biden and the Democrats would ban the techniques that we have to get that gas down out of the ground. Hmm. That's why Democrats are losing in the polls. That's why they're going to lose badly in 3 weeks.
I don't know how much time John Fetterman has to focus on that with the crime that's just out of control, particularly in Philadelphia. I wholeheartedly mean that. He might have been part of the problem with words like show the criminals mercy. So that's a big way to go. And now you got energy mixed in too. Inflation. And it gets mentioned every conversation. You mentioned it a few moments ago. A few days ago, President Biden said there may be a chance of a slight recession, but maybe just slight. Well, Bloomberg out with a new projection. There is a 100% chance of a recession in the next year, given the decade's high inflation, Fed interest hikes, and tense political climate. The economy, of course, we know the senator is top of mind for voters. A New York Times poll shows concern over economic issues have jumped to 44% from 36% a few weeks ago in summer. Americans also are weary when it comes to the president's performance on those top issues. New Fox polling puts Biden's inflation approval at just 29%. Where are the 29% who actually like where inflation is? The White House doing pretty much anything they can, they say, to defend him. Let's watch together.
If President Biden's top domestic priority is inflation, why doesn't he have more to show for it?
So he's been very clear about making that his number one economic priority. And he's done the work with congressional Democrats.
But who exactly thinks the president is doing a good job on inflation?
We understand that there are challenges that are in front of us here in this country. That is why the president has taken action to lower costs. Republicans in Congress refuse to be partners with us on this.
All right, we'll hear from Democrats in a moment. I want to get your direct reaction to what she's talking about from the White House lectern.
Well, guilty as charged that Republicans in Washington have refused to spend trillions of dollars we don't have. Joe Biden and the Democrats don't have an answer on inflation because they're the cause of inflation. There's two main reasons we have this inflation at generational highs. The first is Democrats have spent trillions of dollars that we don't have. It was completely obvious and predictable. In fact, it was predicted not just by Republicans but by Democrats like former Treasury Secretary Larry Summers that spending all that money would lead to inflation. Yet the Democrats kept spending it. Even after we had record high inflation just a couple months ago, they spent another $700 billion. The second reason we have so much inflation is the price of energy is so high, because it doesn't just hit families in their budget when the price they pay for gasoline is high. It drives up the cost of manufacturing. It drives up the cost of doing business. It drives up the cost of transportation. And that very much is an intentional policy. The Democrats want energy prices to be high because they want to end American production of fossil fuels, oil and gas and coal. They may not say it in the 45 days before an election. They may rely on gimmicks like releasing oil from the Strategic Petroleum Reserve, which is also dangerous to our national security. But mark my words, On November 9th, the Democrats are going to go back to openly waging war on American oil, gas, and coal.
When you say words like intentional crisis, all I can think of is our power grids are still about 80% dependent on fossil fuels and or coal. I mean, I don't know what they're thinking they're doing, but they're actually making that situation weaker using electricity. I mean, I remember a few weeks ago, you do too, when the governor of California said, we're in a heat wave, stop plugging in your electric cars. I mean, it's a world of hurt that they brought with the policies. Now for the Democrats, Senator, who also are not getting what they need from the president. Watch.
The president over the weekend said the economy is, quote, strong as hell. Do you agree with that?
I think there is much more the administration needs to do, especially around energy costs.
Wow. Oh, boy, that's like losing a relative, Hassan. And you say what to that?
Yeah. Well, every one of these Democrats, Maggie Hassan in New Hampshire, Raphael Warnock in Georgia, Mark Kelly in Arizona, Catherine Cortez Masto in Nevada, any one of them could have put their foot down in a 50-50 Senate and demanded that Joe Biden stop his war on American oil and gas and coal. And they didn't. They were a rubber stamp for Joe Biden, and a vote for any Democrat this year is a vote for Joe Biden's agenda. If you want affordable and reliable energy in this country, you need to vote Republican on November 8th.
Yeah, you have really tied that with inflation, unlike the president was able to tie his Inflation Reduction Act to actual inflation and reducing it. Just one quick one. Fox News polling shows extremely or very concerned, they ask voters. Their number one thing by 89%, inflation / higher prices. Democrats are in trouble. They have only 21 days to figure that one out. Will they do it? Meanwhile, President Biden... Go ahead. Your quick thought.
No, they won't do it again because it's their policies that have caused this inflation, sometimes intentionally caused it in the form of high gasoline prices. So of course they're not going to figure it out. They just hope that they can distract the American people for another 21 days so they can get back to those harmful policies.
President Biden is scrambling to tame just what Senator Cotton's talking about. Boy, he knows it's the gas prices. They got to get their arms around this. In 21 days, the administration now reportedly plans to release that 10 million to 15 million barrels of oil from their strategic reserves. Now, they've already done this to the point where we're lower than we have been, the lowest level in nearly four decades. The average price of a gallon of regular unleaded today, $3.87. That's up 55 cents over last year. And it's only going up day by day, week by week now, because there's so much pressure. Right? And it's getting colder. Biden is playing a very familiar blame game over the recent uptick. He's added a new boogeyman to his growing list of villains. Watch this.
I realized costs are going up on food, and I was able to bring gasoline down well over $1.60, but it's inching up because of what the Russians and the Saudis just did. I'm not finished with that yet.
All righty. So now we have the oil industry he blamed, the mom and pop, the corporation, Putin, and now Saudi Arabia. I guess no more fist bumps.
Yeah, Joe Biden should look in the mirror if he wants to figure out the reason for high gas prices. Remember, in the campaign, he promised to end fossil fuels in America. That's why we have an energy crisis in America. It doesn't help that Joe Biden and the Democratic Party have ostracized Saudi Arabia for years now, in no small part because they opposed Barack Obama and Joe Biden's reckless nuclear deal with Iran. But the bottom line is, we shouldn't have to rely on anyone for our oil and gas and coal. We have more than enough, not only to support our own needs, but to support our friends around the world. We certainly shouldn't resort to dangerous gimmicks, like drawing down our strategic petroleum reserve. We shouldn't have to go hat in hand to dictatorships like Venezuela and Iran. We really shouldn't even have to rely on friendly nations like Saudi Arabia and Canada that supply other nations. We can supply our own energy if we will simply unleash America's miners and roughnecks and the entrepreneurs who are ready to get the resources out of the ground that God put in to help power our economy and provide affordable, reliable energy for America's families and businesses.
Now, I hope no one missed what you just said, because we get the part about how we now are no longer independent or self-sufficient, and that is horrible. But we could be making money on the deal. That's what you just said, too. We could be supplying others. We could actually make a profit on this and then transition to what we think is the right way to go. I want to know more about your Pennsylvania energy trip another time. That caught my eye and ear. Senator, thank you for being in focus today.
Hey, everyone. I'm Emily Campagno. Catch me and my co-hosts Harris Faulkner and Kaylee McEnany on Outnumbered every weekday at 12 p.m. Eastern, or set your DVR. Also, don't forget to subscribe to the Fox News YouTube page for daily highlights.
Hey, Lauren here. Let's talk about the whole Kanye West situation. As we all know by now, Kanye West seems to be in another one of those phases where he is very interested in talking about social issues, current events, and politics. We saw this previously from him before at around 2016. He ended up kind of backing away from these issues, but now that perhaps he's divorced from his wife, Kim Kardashian, who seemed to be trying to put a muzzle on him when it comes to these more controversial things, he's back at it full speed ahead. Not only did he wear the White Lives Matter shirts with Candace Owens at Fashion Week, but he also did a very highly publicized interview with Tucker Carlson on Fox News. And if you missed it, I did do an entire video dedicated to at least the first part of that interview. Check it out if you haven't already. And now that interview was apparently so long that they chose to break it up into two different parts, airing on two different days. And it was right on the heels of the second part of that highly publicized Fox News interview airing that Kanye decided to break the internet a little bit. He posted, "I'm a bit sleepy tonight, but when I wake up, I'm going DEFCON 3 on Jewish people," all caps. "The funny thing is, I actually can't be anti-Semitic because black people are actually Jew also. You guys have toyed with me and try to blackball anyone whoever opposes your agenda." So muy caliente, to say the least, and that tweet was very quickly deleted by Twitter. And now, as you can imagine, that tweet, despite getting deleted, did get a lot of very negative attention, with many people rushing to say this proves that Kanye West is not only anti-Semitic, but is actually threatening the lives of Jewish people with that phrase, DEFCON 3. Now, in my opinion, regardless of what else you think about that tweet, I don't actually think Kanye West was threatening anyone. I think he genuinely thought that DEFCON was actually DEFCON. And why he chose 3 instead of 1 to 5, no clue. Say what you want about whether this tweet is prejudiced or not, but I think it is a very far cry to say that this should count as a threat. And I know it may surprise some of you to hear this, and it's kind of surprising me actually, but it turns out that this Kanye tweet is actually causing somewhat of a rift, or at least disagreement, in conservative circles, which we're going to be getting into. But first, I do want to say a big thank you to today's sponsor, Noble Gold. Did you know that silver prices are low right now since investors are selling their holdings because of low demand? However, once those fears in the economy and supply chain issues subside, we could see a resurgence in the price of silver just skyrocketing as consumers come back, which makes now the perfect time to get your silver IRA started. And this month, you'll get an incredible free 3-ounce silver American Virtue coin with a qualified IRA of $20,000 or higher. You really can't go wrong with Noble Gold, and I say that not only as someone who works with them in terms of these sponsorships, but as someone who is also their client. I had never dealt with precious metals before, never invested with them. I gave them a call, and they walked me through the entire process and made the whole thing just so easy. So call the team now at 877-646-5347 or visit them online at noblegoldinvestments.com. Again, that is noblegoldinvestments.com, and you can also click the link down below in the description. A huge thank you to Noble Gold for being a long-time partner with this channel. Now, as I said, with that Kanye West tweet, a lot of people were quick to condemn it as a threat of violence, which I think is totally ridiculous. And those people aside, there were still many more people who, even though they didn't think that Kanye West was threatening violence, still thought that tweet was anti-Semitic. However, at least one person who seemed to hold off on condemning Kanye was Candace Owens, who, when addressing the whole situation in her podcast, said this.
"If you're an honest person, when you read this tweet, you had no idea what the hell he was talking about. I had no idea when I read this tweet what the hell he was talking about. This tweet inspired questions, not answers. First and foremost, what is DEFCON 3?
Now, that clip was shared very heavily on social media, with a lot of people saying that this was Candace Owens defending Kanye and his anti-Semitic tweets. But I think if you go back and watch that clip and pay very close attention, you will notice that Candace Owens is not really defending Kanye or what he said at all here. Essentially, what she says there is that she didn't understand Kanye's tweet. She doesn't know what he means, and that we should be asking him what exactly he means before rushing to condemn him and certainly before trying to accuse him of committing another Holocaust. And you know what? I have to say that I agree with Candace Owens here. As soon as I saw that that tweet was deleted, I immediately lamented that now we will never know exactly what Kanye West was going to say. And I think that is exactly why censorship, when it comes to this kind of stuff, is such a bad idea. If nothing else, actually hearing and waiting to see what Kanye said would have either just solidified the fact that, yeah, the man is bigoted, or maybe absolved him, but now we will never know. That situation, that clarity has been taken from us because Twitter, as usual, was way too fast to hit the ban button. And now this is the part that frustrates me, because here, on the one hand, we have what Kanye West said, his tweet, and some people calling him anti-Semitic. Okay, that's one issue. But once Candace Owens made that statement on her show, basically saying, hey, let's not be too quick to attack someone. Let's try to figure out what he means first, because frankly, we just don't know. That tweet wasn't very clear. Just for saying that, which, keep in mind, is not really a defense of what Kanye said. It's I don't know what Kanye said. Candace Owens has also since been smeared as an anti-Semite. One of the people who shared that clip of Candace online is someone named Jason Campbell. His entire job is just essentially to sit around all day clipping different parts of Daily Wire shows and spreading them online to try to make them look bigoted. In my opinion, though, he usually just makes them look base, especially Matt Walsh. What can you expect? He works for Media Matters for America, which is a trash organization. But when sharing that clip of Candace, he wrote, Candace Owens on Kanye West's anti-Semitic tweet. If you are an honest person, you did not think this tweet was anti-Semitic. Adding, it's like you cannot even say the word Jewish without people getting upset. And that thread became a hot spot, not just for calling Kanye West anti-Semitic or Candace Owens wrong for not seeing how it was anti-Semitic, but also calling Candace Owens anti-Semitic. Anna Kasparian wrote absolute trash. Jim Salter wrote, even after my whole last life of the GOP and 7 freaking years of the Trumplican GOP, they still regularly manage to take my breath away with their BS. And someone else named Harris Piskin for Democracy just kind of weighed in with Candace Owens is an effing idiot. It's very great and meaningful discourse happening over there. But Candace Owens, I think to her credit, never being one to bow down to cancel culture, she kind of doubled down on the fact that she was not willing to condemn Kanye West for a tweet she did not understand. And so at the premiere of her new documentary, The Greatest Lie Ever Sold, Candace Owens was actually in attendance with Kanye West. And full disclosure, I was invited to this event. I did go. I did not get to meet Kanye, though. A lot of people seemed to meet him afterwards, after the film had screened. I actually kind of had to run home, and this may be TMI, but it's a mom moment, so I'm sharing it because my milk was coming in and I was in a lot of pain, so I had to feed baby. So yes, that is now forever the story of why I did not get the chance to meet Kanye West. Which brings us to the rift that is being caused in the conservative movement. It seems that people are upset not so much over whether Kanye's tweet was anti-Semitic or not, but whether it's still okay to associate with him or not. Specifically, Ben Domenech or Dominic, I'm not sure, I've never heard the name said. I've only ever read it. He's Meghan McCain's husband, though. Of the fact that Candace had Kanye in attendance of the premiere and a bunch of other celebrities, he wrote, The Daily Wire and Ben Shapiro stand with Kanye, Candace Owens' anti-Semitism, and Kanye's trolling of his ex-wife with the guy who plowed her on camera, winning the culture looks like this. Yikes. And so with all of that negative attention on Candace for being with Kanye and with what he said about Jewish people, it could come as no surprise, really, that eventually Ben Shapiro weighed in on this whole thing.
Let me just say this. Candace and I disagree about a wide variety of topics. One of the features, not the bugs, of Daily Wire Plus is the fact that we openly disagree about all of this stuff. I share my opinions about what I think Candace is saying. She shares her opinions about what she thinks. And I'm saying we battle it out. It's one of the things that you get at Daily Wire. When it comes to Candace's defense of those remarks, I think Candace is dead wrong on what she said. While respecting her relationship with Kanye, she knows Kanye better than I do. She knows the motive. Okay, whatever. All of that I'm sure is true, and I will take that for granted. What she said about Kanye, I radically disagree with. I think that she is dead wrong. I think that it betrays a lack of understanding about anti-Semitism and the scope of anti-Semitism. But we're allowed to have those disagreements. That's the way this works.
And similarly, Jerry Boring, who's, co-CEO of The Daily Wire, he also wrote, Do you agree with Candace's defense of Kanye's comments? Answer, I disagree with a lot of it. Question, so why did Daily Wire allow her to say it and invite him to her premiere? Answer, allow, we aren't in the business of telling our hosts what to think, say, or do. Now, that kind of attitude that you can disagree with one of your hosts, but still have them as part of your platform and still talk about it and still be friendly with them, that is exactly what we should want in the right-wing movement. However, despite those words, as many people, myself included, did notice, the official Daily Wire account didn't promote Candace's premiere where she had Kanye. And the other Daily Wire hosts were not in attendance of that premiere, though they do all have other engagements. I think Ben is in Israel and Matt Walsh is on his college tour. But some people might wonder, all right, well, if there's this is not a problem, why couldn't the scheduling have been changed so that you could attend this premiere of your platform's film? Or at the very least, why could you not have promoted it or said congratulations for it on your social media? But that wasn't done either, even though that could be done no matter where you are in the planet, what other engagements you have. And so basically, this is my position on the whole Kanye West situation. I, like Candace, would like to know more before I condemn him. Because I may be burning some bridges here, because I know a lot of people will disagree with me, but I don't think talking about certain Jewish people who you happen to know counts as anti-Semitic. And I don't know if that's what Kanye West was trying to do. Talk about the people he actually knows in the industry that he's had experiences with, or just condemn all Jewish people. We don't know enough from that tweet, in my opinion. And I will also say that if you are someone who doesn't like Kanye's tweet to the point where now you also don't like Candace Owens, and you also think that it's bad that the Daily Wire employs Candace Owens, who is friends with Kanye West, then you are ridiculous. Because let's face it, that level of toxicity, that level of guilt by association, that would not apply if Kanye West had said those same words about other black people or about white people. I think it's fair to say that you cannot like what Kanye West said while at the same time still acknowledging that the reaction to it, the readiness to cancel not only Kanye, but anyone associated with Kanye who still associates with Kanye, that is cancel culture. That is exactly what the right criticizes the left for all the time. And ultimately, that is a huge double standard with the type of rhetoric that we allow to be said about other races. But anyway, those are just my thoughts. And as always, I would love to know what you guys think. Do you think conservatives should be disassociating from Kanye and maybe even people who are just friends with Kanye, or is that cancel culture? Let me know down below. And as always, if you enjoyed this video, please be sure to like, share, and subscribe. It helps me out so much. Until next time.
And now, as long as the angle has really wondered for a long time, when will New England decide to save itself? When states like Maine, Rhode Island, Connecticut finally get fed up with high taxes, low growth, rising crime, when they finally kick the Democrat dinosaurs into the amber? Well, then, when that happens, we'll see how populism is really taking hold. Well, I was in Connecticut over the weekend. I have more on that later. For my Glastonbury High School reunion, I spent a lot of time talking to folks on the ground there. A lot of people seemed really fed up and were both sad and mad at what had happened to the state we all grew up in. And I sense the Democrats who once thought that they were untouchable in the state, I'm talking about elected officials, may be starting to sweat it. Republicans are actually spending money in these races across the region. A Kevin McCarthy-aligned PAC is spending $23 million on ads in 8 Democratic-held districts that Biden carried by double digits in New England. Now, some interesting nuggets here. In Connecticut's 5th congressional district, where Biden won by 11, Republican George Logan is demonstrating broad bipartisan appeal, according to Axios. And in Rhode Island's 2nd, where Biden won by 14, a new poll has Republican Alan Fung leading the Democrats by 8 points. So how bad are things in New England? Well, in New Hampshire, where Liberal Senator Maggie Hassan is running away from any debates, it's fentanyl and the economy that's killing them.
There is a drug problem around here. I mean, there's a lot of that that goes on, but that's because there's not a lot going on around here. There's not a lot of work around here. There's not a lot of jobs around here.
Thank you, globalization. And in Massachusetts and Rhode Island, some folks will be choosing between food or heat this winter.
We're seeing electricity prices rise in New England. We've seen electricity prices go up, increase over 64% in Massachusetts and Rhode Island.
In Maine, things are no better.
We always hear from our struggling neighbors, friends, and family members about winter and how hard it is, specifically older Mainers, but we've not heard concern like we are hearing this year. What we're hearing is we don't know how we're going to make it. We simply can't afford these costs.
Oh, it's infuriating. In Connecticut, crime is out of control. Flags were at half staff this weekend. That was after 3 police officers were ambushed. 2 were dead. More than 80 rounds were fired at them from behind.
It was multiple rounds, and it was like war zone. And then next thing you knew, there were sirens flying everywhere, and it was just, it was scary. It was actually scary because we don't get this. We don't have this. This is a quiet neighborhood.
Not anymore. No one is safe. No wonder the state's incumbent Democratic Senator, Ned No Answers Lamont, is in a tight race with Republican Bob Stefanowski. Come on, nutmeggers, it's time to try something different. You've done this forever. And one woman who wants to help lead the charge is Lior Levy. She's trying to unseat that septuagenarian senator's serpent, Richard Blumenthal. A new Connecticut Examiner Fabrizio poll has her only down by 5 points. Lior joins me now. Lior, good to see you. I felt the fear building over the weekend in the state. People are scared. So my question is, what have Democrats done for Connecticut lately?
Well, all the Democrats have done for Connecticut lately is to make life unaffordable, to make life feel unsafe. Their crime has risen, to make Connecticut a border state by flying illegals to Westchester County Airport and to Tweed Airport, bringing fentanyl and human trafficking and all the other things. That's what the Democrats have done for us here. And the people of Connecticut are ready for change. I'm so happy to hear you were in Glastonbury. I was in Glastonbury yesterday at the Apple Festival.
Oh,
and
so I was there.
You were there?
Yeah. I can't believe I missed you. What a bummer.
I'm sorry I missed you,
too. it's a great state. Lior, this is actually a wonderful state. If people haven't spent time in New England, you just kind of write it off, though it's liberal. But it's beautiful. You're great people. And I think we have to have a mantra, no state left behind. There's no reason Connecticut has to be in this situation, none at all.
That's right. Life does not have to be this way. We can change. It can feel normal again. We're not asking for extravagances. We just want to be able to feed our kids, heat our homes, go to work with a full tank of gas and not think twice about it. That is not too much to ask. And we can change. It's time to change, and I'm the woman that's going to bring change to Connecticut.
Lior, you're so courageous and brave to be doing what you're doing, but you have big money on the other side, and that's Senator Richard Blumenthal, who was most recently expressing frustration at Saudi Arabia for not bailing out the Democrats on the high gas prices. Watch this.
Humongous blunder by the Saudis that is against their own self-interest, as well as the threat to the global economy, the danger of rising oil prices to American consumers at the pump. It harms Americans, and I think that the administration, more than any of us, is well aware of these practical consequences.
Lior, if there ever were a worthless U.S. Senator, Richard Blumenthal is he. Okay, it disgusts me to hear him say that, given our energy glut that we have in this country and what we've done to our own people. Connecticut, just for that, they should vote against him, just for that comment.
I agree with you, and I want to remind people, he's the senator who voted for the JCPOA, the last Iran agreement, and he will do it again. He is threatening the Saudis by saying what he said. And by the way, he only wanted for them to delay their reduction in production by 1 month so he could win the election. He doesn't care about the people of Connecticut, but I do. I want to reinvigorate American energy production so we can bring those prices down again permanently. And I'd love people to go to my website, Liora4CT.com, to learn more about me and learn more about the policies I will be promoting.
Ms. Levy, we need a female Connecticut senator, conservative with smart solutions. This is all about common sense, and you got it. Good luck. Everyone in Connecticut, get out and vote and change.
All right, on that note, we're going to go ahead and end it up here. I got like 3 minutes. We're not going to learn anything here. So I'll be back tomorrow. Please support the other shows on Freedomizer. It's not just the Proof Negative show here, but I'll be back again tomorrow at my usual post here, 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern. That is 6 to 9 p.m. Pacific time every week, Monday through Thursday. And then we have other shows throughout the day. So please check out the schedule on freedomizerradio.com. I'm going to go ahead and get out of here. Thank you, everybody, for checking in tonight. So until tomorrow, hold on to the handrail, keep hope alive, and remember, only you can prevent forest fires. I am Proof Negative, and I am Oot.